Jonas Queen, Felicity, Making Smoke, Bartholomew Henry Allen, and Iris Ann West. I now pronounce you husband and wife. Please, kiss your brides.
Welcome to Central City Underground, episode 99. We're here to talk about our favorite CW show, The Flash, Crisis on Earth X. This is Jada, a.k.a. Story's Voice.
And this is Julia, a.k.a. The Elfie One. We are doing things a little bit differently this week. Since we had an epic crossover event, we have teamed up with our friends over at Tomorrow's Legends, The Flash and Harley, with a special longer podcast. We are going to cover both parts 3 and 4, so episodes of The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, in today's podcast. So if you also listen to their podcast, you will find this same one on the Cybercast Network. We had a lot of fun doing this podcast with the Legendaires, and we hope you have a lot of fun listening to it. Here we go.
Enjoy.
In 2016, a new TV show hit the digital airwaves and needed a podcast dedicated to chronicling its adventures. An elite team has been assembled for this task. Unfortunately, the world's listeners have not heard of this Wonder Twin duo. And although they may not be known now, in the future they will be referred to as Tomorrow's Legends.
Harley, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm so angry.
But why? What are you so angry about?
Because they killed off one of my favorite characters.
But we've got company here tonight. You're kind of putting out a bad impression.
Hey guys.
What's going on?
Everything okay? Are you all right?
This is Harley. Sometimes she acts up a little bit.
I just feel very strongly about something on this episode, and I just need to get it out. I just need to be heard.
That's all right, Harley. Let it out.
Work through the anger.
And now, here are your hosts, the Fleet-Footed Flash and his hammer-swinging partner, Harley Quinn.
Oh, welcome, Legendaires. Welcome to Tomorrow's Legends. We're here to cover Season 3, Episode 8 of Legends of Tomorrow, as well as Episode 8 of The Flash. This is part 3 and 4 of our epic crossover event, Crisis on Earth X. I am The Flash.
And I'm Harley Quinn.
And we are welcoming to the show Julia and Jada from Central City Underground. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Also known as The Elfie One and Story's Voice.
That is true.
Oh, man, guys, how exciting was this epic event?
It was amazing.
It was wonderful. I loved it. I loved it from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. There's so much we can talk about it. But I think the difficulty with a four-show crossover is what surprised all of us, I think, is we were expecting an individual Supergirl episode, individual Arrow, Flash, and Legends, and so on. And they mixed it up so much that no show actually really stood apart. Everything was mixed so well, so it's going to be difficult to talk individually about our show. So I think what we've decided to agree on is that we're going to talk about the entire event, but try to focus on the Flash characters and the Legends characters because, you know, we're having our own little mini crossover here.
Absolutely. This was the most integrated crossover we have had so far, and in my opinion, the best crossover we have seen on any of these shows.
I completely agree. This, it was so good.
Well, let's dive into this because we do have a lot to talk about. We've got a heck of a lot of feedback, which is awesome. We're gonna play feedback from both shows, and we got some quotes and some fave fours. We got all kinds of stuff going on here. So let's just jump into our impressions of the show. All right, Miss Angry Harley, let's hear what you got for us. What's your rating?
All right. I am giving this crossover event 9.5. I am ignoring all the scenes where they killed and or buried Martin Stein.
Oh.
Not because, and I have to explain myself, and I will explain myself in greater detail because I am fairly certain I'm in the minority, but I just, it's not an issue like with the acting or the way things were played out. It was, I just didn't resonate with where the writers were going with this storyline at all. And it just, I felt cheated. And that's why it's bothering me. So if I let the all of the bother come in, I'd probably down it to like a 7. But that's not fair because this thing was amazing. But I was sitting through literally all of part 4 yelling at my TV, which my husband can attest to. So anyway, but I, like I said, I'm ignoring those scenes because I don't think it's fair to downgrade my rating because, I mean, let's be real. What they pulled off was amazing. So 9.5.
All right. Well, that's fair enough assessment, but I'm going to do my best to counter you when you start complaining.
It's okay. Someone needs to.
All right. Well, for me, I'm also giving this a 9.5. Amazing sequences. I actually upped my rating from Arrow Squad because I gave it a 9 in Arrow Squad. It's just after talking about it now and watching it again, how can I not give it a 9.5? This event was just too darn good to be a lowly 9. Why not a 10? Well, just a few minor things, few hiccups, choices, nothing major, except that it's over. DC movies, take notice. This is how you do a superhero mashup event. It was fun from start to finish, with humor, drama, great comic book action effects come to life, and the best part was seeing so many different characters and actors that have never been together before get to play opposite each other and get some screen time together. The chemistry all around was perfect pairings and perfect groupings of, you know, threes and fours, and I loved it. It was so much fun.
It was.
All right, Story's Voice, what do you got to say about the whole thing?
I enjoyed it immensely. I, too, gave it a 9.5 Nazi doppelganger Wave Riders because the Wave Rider doesn't get enough love.
So I was so shocked to see that. Just,
yeah.
Right, what a cool thing.
Oh, man.
So cool.
And then did you guys notice, like, on the Nazi Wave Rider, the voice of her, as far as I could tell and from what other people said on Facebook, it sounded like the voice of the actress who plays Moira Queen.
It was, yes.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
How cool was that? Yeah. All right, Elfie One, how about you? How'd you feel?
Well, I gave this a significantly lower 9 out of 10. Super doppel fights. Nice. I thought the final fight was just incredible. And all of the doppelgangers fighting each other, oh, it was just so cool. All of the fights in this were really cool. From the one at the very beginning at the wedding, to the, when they busted in to the Nazi base, trying to get to that portal, to the very final fight. They were all just so amazing. I had no qualms with any of the special effects in this episode. And the reason I marked it down to a 9 is just a couple of weird story choices for me. Mm-hmm. And I will get into those a little bit later, but for the most part, this was the most fun I've had watching any of these 4 shows all season. This is what I have been waiting for, because we've talked a lot on the Flash podcast about how it's just been super, super goofy and, you know, making up for how dark and dismal last season was. But, oh, man, this was incredible.
Yeah, perfectly put. I mean, I don't know how they're going to continue after this. It's almost like next week's mid-season finale episodes are going to seem so, like, tame.
Right? Why bother? Oh, just don't even
know. I know. I thought it was an interesting choice to put mid-season finales after this crazy crossover thing, especially after it finished. I'm like, none of these finales are going to stand up to this. None of them, especially... Oh, exactly, especially with the Legends bombshell.
Yeah, it always makes me wonder, why don't they make these big crossover events the finale for the midseason? And that way it leaves us all hanging on such a high and full of energy and excitement and anticipation for them to come back. Because last year, if I recall, most of the midseason finales were kind of wah, wah, nothing really that great.
Yeah, I think they were.
I don't remember what they were, which maybe that says something.
See? Well, all right, Julie and Jada, we are mixing up our shows tonight, and you guys over on Central City Underground like to do this thing called the Flash Fave 4.
That's right.
I'll let you guys take away, introduce what it's about, and yeah, you guys kick it off.
Yeah, our Flash Fave 4 is when we basically, Jada and I will each pick two things for a total of four. Just our favorite things in the episode. It can be literally anything you want. So, Jada, why don't you start us off?
Now run, Barry, run!
Well, my favorite thing of, like we said, it's hard to determine what was an episode of what show. But one of my favorite things was the fight between the Flash, Ray, and Red Tornado.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was great.
We gotta take him out now.
I have an idea. Throw another lightning bolt.
We already tried that.
Just do it.
Signs hurt.
All right, we're on the move.
The effects were good. It was good to see Ray in action, even though he's new. Some of us are familiar with him from the comics. It was good to see him in action, and I think Ray paired with Flash worked wonders. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I like the way they took down Red Tornado with their our powers combined. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, what a cool team they were.
That was just beautiful. One of those moments I said that comic book special effects come to life. I mean, we've seen this stuff happen on the cartoons, and that's always fun. But to actually see it in, you know, real life, quote unquote kind of thing, it was so much fun. It looked so cool.
Yeah.
The lightning that forked out, that was so neat. I loved that part.
Oh, that was so cool. All of it. I mean, just seeing Red Tornado show up again. We haven't seen him since, was it season one of Supergirl?
Yeah, that's right.
And this was a little bit different version of him. They improved upon him. And Red Tornado is known to be able to take down quite a few of the Justice League members. So it was a cool matchup and very believable that it took two to take him out. But I want to ask you, Jada, you seem to be kind of the comic books guru here. I don't know who this Ray character was. Tell me, is that his superhero name? Is he just Ray? Like, tell me a little bit about him.
The Ray,
yes. The Ray. he's an older character. I can't remember exactly which comic book company he originated in, but it was one of the offshoots of DC. And eventually they brought him into the fold of DC. I assume he's making a comeback. I'm not sure if he was in the New 52 or if he's in any of the new series, but he's pretty much a light-based character. I don't know a whole lot more than that. I've read some stuff with the Ray, but it was never a big item on my reading list. But it's good to see that they're incorporating names that aren't so big. And they're doing well with him. If we can't have the big names, then I like how they take the lesser known names and make them big. They do great jobs with them.
Yeah.
And that really tickled my fancy.
Okay, cool. When I first saw like promotional photographs and I saw him in there, and then when I first saw him put on the helmet, I thought, is that Nova? Because he sure looked a lot more like Nova to me. But I'm thinking, wait a sec, isn't Nova a Marvel character? Like, I was getting all confused because the helmet, everything looked the same. So, cool. Glad you cleared that up.
Maybe he's Nova's doppelganger.
Maybe.
He did look a little bit like the Rocketeer.
That too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That too. All right, Elfie One, how about your favorite moment?
My favorite thing was always going to be the return of Leonard Snart.
Yes.
Hey, you're cutting it close.
Oh, that was great timing. I really enjoyed the pun.
So you're Leonard Snart's doppelganger?
No, I'm Leonard Snart, but you can call me Leo. That is a fantastic outfit. Did you make that?
I love him so much. And I loved this version of him. He was just delightful. And he and Ray were so cute together. I wish that they could both be regulars on The Flash, because I have always, always loved when Snart shows up. I loved that he was called Leo, and all of his interactions with Team Flash and everybody. It was just delightful. And I don't want him to leave. I really want him to stay, but I know that he's made his announcement that he's not going to be appearing on The Flash anymore. I don't know if that's just the crossover was his last appearance or if it's this season, but boy, am I going to miss him.
As all of us will. I think he's probably got a couple more appearances, maybe one or two more. I don't know on which shows or what's going on, because this crossover event was finished filming quite a while ago, and he just let his announcement out. And I think he said, I just finished filming my last scenes on the show, which sounds like he...
That's excellent news.
But don't 100% quote me on it. That's I'm quoting you.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet he might spend some time on Legends just with what happened during the crossover stuff.
Yeah, he did stick around. So they're definitely teasing that he's going to maybe be here again. I hope so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, how about you guys? What were your favorite things?
Well, I'm going to be kicked off of CCU right away, because I'm going to like break your only rule you have here. How am I supposed to pick just one favorite thing? There's so many. And if I had had time, I would have pulled out audio clips of all our favorite moments. And maybe I'll do that behind the scenes. We'll see. But here's a few. I'm just going to rhyme off real quick. Sisko and Wells at each other again.
Hold your applause. I only built it myself.
First off, nobody was clapping. Second, that explains why I couldn't splice a proton from a neutrino field.
I'll splice the proton from your neutrino field.
Fields. I've got a million fields.
Really? Are all your fields this unbearable?
Gentlemen, we appreciate your
time.
How do you account for the destabilization of the Firestorm Matrix?
We trick it.
Love the Earth 2 Wells. That's my favorite version of him. Supergirl singing Barry's proposal song brought tears to my eyes.
All I want to do is come running home to you. Come running home to you. And all my life I promise to keep running home to you. Keep running home.
God, I love that song. Mick trying to scare Caitlin into Killer Frost.
How do you do it?
Do what, Rory?
Bring the other you out of you.
You don't want to know.
Sure I do.
It happens when I am scared or angry.
Oh. So if I were to... Boom!
Nice try.
Oh my God, so much fun. But my all-time number one favorite part of this whole thing was when Thawne was about to operate on Supergirl and he could not get the knife down to her throat, and everyone's like, well, what are you doing? Just start. And he's, I'm trying. And then you see little tiny Adam holding the knife and Thawne can't see him. And then Adam jumps up and takes them all out.
What are you waiting for? Do it.
I'm trying, but...
It's off, Mingala!
Ray?
Hi, how are you? Oh, I got your SOS. How's the wedding?
Oh my God, that was the best Ray Palmer Adam scene we have ever seen.
I agree. Yes. I think I whooped when that happened. I was so excited to see him because I kept waiting. Where are they? They're time travelers. They should be here by now.
Yeah, exactly.
And there he was.
They did it so well. They did it so, like, I had no idea at that moment that it's Ray stopping a knife. You're like, what's going on?
Nice. I thought maybe she had started to recover or something and her skin was just impenetrable again, but
yeah.
Me too.
Ray.
So much fun. So I hope I'm allowed to stick around. I had to say all of those.
Oh, we'll let it slide this time.
All right. Harley, you're up.
All right. My favorite scenes were Iris and Felicity working together. Uh-huh. They formed a great plan, and it actually worked.
Clear. I know, bad guys have inopportune timing, but this is like the worst timing ever.
Yeah, tell me about it, sister. Barry and I were just about to get married.
At least you guys left on good terms. Last thing I said to Oliver was, I don't want to marry you, and now he's stuck in Nazi world. I mean, what if we never see them again?
Stop! Hands in the air!
That's extremely badass!
Same to you.
Cisco!
Hey! Guys! We're trapped in here!
We're gonna get you out of here!
Oh, you've got to be kidding me!
What?
I can't open the blast door!
You mean they're trapped? I'll send an SOS to the Legends.
How long will it take for them to get it?
Depends where they are in time.
I can't wait that long. It's up to us to save Kara.
This is what should have happened on that hashtag feminism episode that we all loved so much. We finally saw them, you know, they're always strong women, but the Iris character, I kind of agree with everybody here that she's been a little hit or miss with me this season. They're trying to take her in a certain direction, and I don't know that it's working to the way that they want it to work. But what they did with her in this crossover, especially with Felicity, I think worked very, very well. Felicity's always brilliant. Felicity's always strong, and she always has a great plan. And I think the two of them coming together and executing was fantastic. And it's okay to call for backup if you actually need the backup.
Right.
This is what I wanted them to do in that feminism episode, and then they never did.
Well, they tried, but the guys weren't answering their phones because they were stuck in a strip club.
Oh, that's right. I did forget that they tried to actually call them. Okay. That, yeah. I feel a little bit
Barry
better about
was
that.
Wasted.
That's true. Well, that I do remember.
Well, it's interesting you bring that one up, Harley, because I wanted to pick Jade and Julia's brains here just a little bit on how, because I haven't really heard you guys really discuss a lot of it on how you think Iris is being handled this season. I mean, I like Iris because of the whole Barry and Iris from the comic books and all that, but this season, I think they've just been really trying to cram down our viewers' throats that she's the strong woman and she can hang it with him, but it's been too much slappy in the face. And what's bugging me is that she's in Star Labs and she's kind of like the boss and she's ordering everybody around. I'm thinking, how does that work? You've got these brilliant scientists and, you know, guys that can create stuff out of thin air, out of gadgets and technology, whatever. How is it she's in charge of all of them? And it's been kind of bugging me all season so far. And that's why I agree with Harley here that they finally put the people that don't have superpowers in a role that actually suits them. Let them use their brains, their wits, and perform in the role that fits them. And I loved when they jumped down from the roof and grabbed the guy's guns and whacked them over, because that's perfectly believable. You know, if you catch them by surprise, that's perfectly believable. They're not They're not beating up on superpowered people. They're taking on regular foot soldiers because that's basically their level of power, if you put it. So anyway, get off my soapbox. I was kind of curious what you guys think of all of that in regards to the Flash this season.
We have talked a lot about her taking charge, and Jada has reminded me a few times that when Barry was trapped in the Speed Force, they didn't have him there, so they had to figure out how to do things without him, and she sort of became their organizer, their leader, and I think they probably looked to her to be that leader because that was a way for her to not think about Barry being trapped in the Speed Force. That's kind of the way that I look at how she got to that point.
Now, that being said, I kind of understand how people could not like the direction they're taking her, because although it's completely believable, and I do believe that Iris has the power to be the leader of that group, to lead, you must do more than just simply direct people. What was good about this scene, these couple scenes where Felicity and Iris were taking charge, they were taking charge. They weren't just saying, do this, do that. We need to see more of that from Iris. We need to see Iris actually being in charge.
And making smart decisions. I think that's key. What bothered me about the feminism episode is she did not make smart decisions. She made very poor choices.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. She's right. Done that a bit in this season. She will do things like, you know, just step into the line of fire.
Yes.
And, you know, consistently doing stuff like that. And luckily, it has worked for her. But she should have died so many times already, you know? And I don't know if it's beating death last season that makes her think that she is invincible now. But yeah, that sort of thing bothers me because she has made some really questionable choices. But I don't know. I haven't hated where they're taking her. With the exception of the "we are the Flash" thing, I don't really dig that so much. But I like seeing her be a strong character. I do also have questions about what she's doing with her life, I guess. She used to be a journalist. Does she still have a job? We don't know. They haven't even touched on that.
Yeah.
So I would love to see her outside of Star Labs again, because we have no idea about, I mean, does she have any life outside of all of this? Because it certainly doesn't seem so.
See, and that's a good point you make, because that's what makes us connect to these characters a lot more strongly, is when we, sure, you see the superhero stuff, you see them facing crime, but what are they doing afterwards? And that, where the Flash does it really well is we always see, oh my God, I'm totally mind blanking. Their father, why can't I think
Joe.
Of his name? Joe. Sorry. We always see Joe at home and having home life scenes, and we see Caitlin and Cisco sometimes dealing with their things. And some of this calls back to previous seasons when Cisco had to deal with his brother or Caitlin with their mom. You have to see them deal with regular life outside of Star Labs. And
we even see Barry at work all the time.
And yeah, exactly. And we don't even see that much anymore, police stuff. So they're not doing that with Iris at all. All she is this person at Star Labs now. And I agree with you. Where she used to be a journalist. That's what people know her as. And I can't remember, maybe it was Arrow Squad I was talking about this, that if they would make her be the journalist, because in the comic books, Flash would run around trying to figure things out, and Iris would help him sometimes. If he couldn't figure out things at the crime scene or get information or find contacts or whatever, Iris was the one that was able to dig that stuff up, and they could work together on those things. I'd like to see that brought into the show. Get her out there and working her angles the way a journalist, investigative journalist, would do, and she could help the team out that way.
I agree. Maybe after, now that she doesn't have to plan a wedding, she'll have more time for that sort of thing.
Cool. Well, let's.
I feel like they. I was going to say, I feel like they need to actually commit, go all in on it. Either she's going to be one thing or another, but they're kind of stumbling, kind of waffling, I guess, as to what she is and what she's doing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they figure it out. I don't hate her or anything. I just want to see more and better
for her. Oh, no, not at all.
And I think me and Jess were discussing that you look how Legends portrays their strong women. We have a female captain. It's Sarah. She leads the team. She's the captain of the ship, and she kicks butt. And they never actually have to tell us that and say feminism or say, hey, our captain's a woman. What do you think of that? It just is. And everybody loves her, and it works, and it's awesome, and we all think she's this kick-ass female hero. So why can't they just take that approach to the strong female characters that you already have on The Flash?
Agreed.
Very good question.
All right, well, let's dive into this show, guys. One little thing I want to kick it off with. I didn't get a chance to add all my notes onto the document here, but I got a bunch in front of me, is the logo that they started off with, Crisis on Earth X. What a cool logo, because They didn't start with Supergirl or Arrow. They didn't use any of our show's individual titles. It was Christ on Earth X every time. And we saw our heroes flying by through the letters. And I watched it in slow motion. And obviously the first three, you see Supergirl, Flash, and then Arrow. And then after that, it's kind of hard to tell. You're kind of wondering, where are the Legends characters? What's going on? But if you actually go frame by frame, you see that Adam is next, and then Steel, and then Martin Stein, then Amaya, then Firestorm, Zari, and then Sarah at the very end. No Mick Rory. I did not pick him out in the logo at all, which I thought was kind of interesting. Anyway, that was just a fun point I wanted to start with. All right, Jess, you got our notes pretty much going, so why don't I let you take the lead on this, and we'll all throw in our thoughts.
All right, well, since we're mixing it up with CCU over here, I figure we should tackle the entire point of the crossover that brought everyone together. So let's tackle Barry and Iris try to get married. Took a couple tries, but we got there.
Yeah.
Kind of the first point that I wanted to start with was just how they started the whole thing with the whole, like, have you RSVP'd? I mean, it was cute, but my God, was this cheesy.
I didn't mind it, though, because it was so funny and so much fun to watch them all. And you knew exactly what they were going to do with each consecutive scene when they're fighting. And, oh, by the way, we're going to a wedding.
Exactly.
I laughed
at the Legends one because they are time travelers. They could literally go to the wedding anytime.
Yep. That's true. That is true.
Hello.
I like your word here that you have cheese-tastic, because that's exactly what it was. But you know what? The wedding itself, it was actually really well done. I didn't think the wedding itself was cheesy. The wedding itself was actually romantic and very beautiful. And
it was.
Just the setup to it was amazing. And of course, you got Mick coming in and he's, well, I've already tried to kill the groom a couple times. So
I'll put on the bride's side.
So much funny. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys is, who was that girl when Barry was in the back hallway kind of getting ready? Who was the server girl? Yeah, the waiter that was talking to him. Do we know her? Are we supposed to know her?
Because
it seemed like she had the hots for Barry or something.
It did seem like that. Somebody on Facebook put out a theory that it could be a time traveler, his granddaughter, perhaps? I can't remember the name that they said, but we have never seen her before. I don't know who that was.
Well, there are several possibilities. One could be his daughter, who's a set of twins, the Tornado Twins. Who aren't as fast as Barry, but they do have Speed Force powers. One could be his granddaughter, Impulse.
Now, was that Barry's kid? I thought that was Wally West's kids.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Oh, man. That really changes things up. Oh, wow.
I'm just thinking of the comics and cartoons. I thought that maybe was Wally West's kids. But yeah, either way, I mean, the idea that it could be, because she seemed so exuberantly excited to see him and could barely contain herself. I'm thinking, why? Who is this girl?
Yeah, or is she just somebody who knows his identity somehow?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is she one of the bus metas that we've been waiting for? She could be anybody.
I don't know. The way that the scene was like shot and done, I felt like they were trying to like call attention to her specifically, but I had absolutely no idea why. But then again, a couple of things in this episode were lost on me because I don't watch Supergirl and have no clue about most of the stuff going on over there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, maybe it's like another Supergirl tie-in, and that's why it's going over my head. So
we haven't seen her on Supergirl either. I've never seen her before. And she was really... Was she flirting with him? Because it seemed like she was flirting with him. And I thought, dude, you're at his wedding.
Yeah.
Calm down.
it was a bit of an
odd. It was very awkward.
Yeah. So, I mean, to give in a four-show crossover event where it's already hard enough to split time up fairly amongst all the characters, to give that girl who nobody knows that much of a chunk of screen time, it's got to mean something.
Oh, we'll see her again for sure.
Sure.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And one other thing I want to say is just as this cast is coming in, all of them, you see them all dressed up. We were talking over on Arrow Squad. I did a little poll on the Facebook page about which TV show has the hottest cast. I don't know if you guys saw that. And my God, now that we have all four of them together, these people are just insanely beautiful. All of them.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
All of them, guys and girls. It's unbelievably how good looking everyone is.
Yeah.
Oh, CW.
Speaking of people at the wedding, where was Ralph Dibny?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we did have a lot of people to keep track of, but I guess he wasn't invited. Is he going to be mad about that?
That's a good question.
I was a little surprised. Yeah, I was a little surprised we didn't see him because he's been prevalent on the last couple episodes of Flash. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, he wasn't there last week, but the couple episodes before that, they made a point of bringing him onto the team. And wanting to mold him into a hero and into a better person, which he desperately needs. But yeah, it was just so bizarre to me that there wasn't even a line that explained his absence. So I don't know what's going on with him, but it stood out to me that he wasn't there.
You know who else wasn't there?
Who's that?
Gypsy.
Oh, yeah. You think Sisko would have brought her. Huh. Yeah.
Huh. That should have been his plus one.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
You would think.
Wow, that's strange too. That didn't even occur to me.
Even just to have him as a cameo, just to show their faces, like it would have been fun. But I mean, maybe Dibny, I kind of understand because he hasn't quite straightened himself out yet. Maybe they're just like, yeah, you're not quite, you know, that good of a friend yet. So
he did ruin the bachelor party.
Yeah. So maybe there you go.
But yeah, Gypsy, I could have taken maybe just a phone call, like, hey, sorry, I can't be there because my dad and I are, you know, saving this other universe or something. But yeah, it's, oh, well.
They had a lot to juggle.
What was that, Jada?
They had a lot of characters to juggle.
That's true.
That's true. And speaking of characters that are in there, I'm not sure if you guys are versed enough in your TV lore, but did you recognize who the priest was?
You know, he looked familiar, but I didn't know who that was.
Who watched The Greatest American Hero?
Oh, not me.
Because that was him himself. That was William Catt, who played Greatest American Hero.
Wow, that poor priest.
Oh, yeah. Did that not come out of nowhere? I did not expect.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Vaporized in an instant.
Oh, totally, totally. But, all right, let's get to the point of that entire scene. Was probably the best, most awesome fight sequence we have seen on any of the four shows. That entire church brawl.
Oh, yeah.
Was amazing.
It was.
Starting with the women splitting their skirts open so that they could fight.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, watching everybody spring into action in their formal attire. I loved that.
It was amazing. Everyone had their own little moment. Even Wally West, who didn't get to be a huge part of this, at least he got to shine in one action scene. And he'd had a pretty cool moment when he was catching bullets and whipping them around and throwing them back at the guys. That was fun. At least he got to be part of it.
Didn't he throw a bullet back into a gun?
Something like that, yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the two girls, I think we'll talk about them a little bit later, but Sarah and Alex are great hand-to-hand fighters together. Yeah. That was fun. And just, it was so cool to see. It's like this entire team has fought together so much before. Cause even that moment when Oliver's like, Sisko, I need a portal. Get me up there. And it just happened.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a great scene. Great scene. I mean, what else can we say about it? Jada, what was your favorite part of that fight sequence?
Oh, I don't know. There was so much there. You know, if I'm talking about my favorite part, it was the Wally part.
Okay.
That was great. And I guess they had to give him that because for some inexplicable reason, he just never showed back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They just said, go protect somebody, whoever yeah, was protect the family. And
that was part of the reason that I marked mine down to a 9 instead of a 9.5, because Wally has been pushed aside so much this season, and then I was so excited to have him back, and he didn't get to be a part of any of the coolest parts of this episode, of this whole crossover.
Yeah,
I didn't understand why they don't... yes, Joe and Cecile need protecting, but they could find a place to hide. You know, they... Why not use all the supers that you have at your disposal?
Yeah.
Right. Once they discovered that it was more of an invasion, less of a personal thing, I mean, as far as the Flash was concerned, then they should have brought him back out of hiding. That's serious firepower they could have used.
Yeah. We could have had Barry and Wally fighting Eobard.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess some people had to be cut. I mean, they cut Diggle out this time, too, and Diggle was part of the last crossover pretty heavily, so... You know, there's, yeah, I guess they just have to pick and choose.
I guess.
I mean, they didn't bring back, they had Tom Cavanaugh play Eobard this time instead of bringing back the, what's the blonde
Matt
actor?
Letcher, yeah.
Matt Letcher.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice too. I wasn't quite sure why that was when he introduced himself as that particular Eobard. I thought, oh, but why are you Tom Cavanaugh?
Well, we can either talk about that now or we can get to it later. I think I have a note somewhere here about that a little bit.
If you have an explanation for me, I would love to hear it.
Let's see. No, well, because I was going to ask, it's not a remnant. He has
to be. We killed him last season. He has to be a remnant.
We've killed him twice, but... See, Barry asked him, like, how are you here? And he says, well, you know, time travel. You never know what can happen with that. You know, he just kind of waved it off, like, pff. And he seemed to know everything and everybody and know a lot of information. So
I have a theory.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Let's hear it.
You want me to start? Okay. My theory is that before Eobard Thawne gets involved in any significant altercation where there's even the slightest chance that he might not make it out alive, he stashes a time remnant somewhere. I'm serious. No, like 100%.
I would believe that.
He's smart enough to do that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. You know, I was also thinking that maybe it's just that his timeline is not in sync with theirs. Maybe this is Eobard when he was traveling around doing things, and this happens to be one of his adventures, and it's before we saw him get killed?
That's a possibility as well.
It would have to be before that one got killed.
Exactly. See what I mean?
Because it's before he's Matt Letcher, although... At the end, he said something to Barry about, I wonder what face I'll be wearing the next time I see you.
Did he steal HR's face-changing technology?
Yeah,
What? Oh, man.
I mean...
right?
It's the fact that he throws away that line, oh, you know, with time travel, and it can happen. You could even just say that the original Thawne, the very first Thawne, starts traveling back in time and sees all these other things that have happened. And he's like, oh, okay. So I've come back in time and I've done this and done that and done that. Like, because traveling through time, he's going to eventually catch up to all these different variants that have happened. So he could just be the original one who's now witnessed everything. And he's like, I figured out a way around it, whether it's making remnants of himself, because I love your theory, Harley, that's awesome. Like, who knows? And I mean, the thing is, you can't kill him. He is the greatest villain I think Flash has ever had. He's the best villain we've had on any of the shows. Yeah. And whether they fully explain it or not, I just like that they brought him back again. It's cool.
I love that they let Tom Cavanaugh play him again.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, he must have been having fun playing that part again.
I mean, I'm sure that was from a cost-cutting perspective, but I don't care. It was awesome.
It was.
Oh, it works. It definitely works.
Yeah, he's so good at playing it. You have a point here, Julia, about Captain Singh. I want you to talk about that because that's actually a good point.
Yeah, you know, when all hell broke loose and the Nazis attacked and everybody sprang into action, Barry starts speeding around. I thought, oh, is this going to be the moment that Sing discovers that Barry is the Flash? Because he's seeing all this happen, you know, all of a sudden he's surrounded by supers and metahumans. Mm-hmm. But conveniently, the legends have a way of wiping memories.
We do.
Because Sing has been a real thorn in Barry's side this season, you know, trying to go after the big bad of this season of The Flash. It would be so much easier if he had the captain of the police force on his side. But he can't really tell him what he's doing because Sing doesn't know that he's a Flash. And I thought, oh, well, maybe this is it. Nope, this isn't it.
No. And it was cool. I'm glad they at least showed Mick come in at the end of all of that with the little Men in Black flasher thing.
The flashy thing.
And they asked him, did you wipe everyone? Yep, everybody's gone. Nobody knows their secret identities. And, oh, okay. Yep. Like, I'm glad they at least touched on that so it explains it away and nobody has to gripe about it.
Yeah.
I feel like that was his only purpose of coming to the wedding. It's like literally to have the Legends flasher memory wiper thingy because he was the only legend there that would have had. Well, I guess Sarah was there. Never mind. JK. Anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, he's.
I think he was there so they could keep an eye on him.
That's true.
That's true.
But he was a Flash villain to begin with, and he's kind of become somewhat of a good guy. So, you know, he's part of the team now, I guess. He's just
going to go to the wedding, even though he's tried to kill the crew a few times. Yeah. It's okay, guys. It's okay.
He's just there to eat and drink anyway, right?
Yep. That's exactly why he was there. Free food and drink.
Cool. Well, let's transition from him into Caitlin, because she was also there, and we saw her become Killer Frost quite a bit, and man, did I think it looked awesome. The effect of her eyes changing was one of the coolest effects of this whole thing.
Yeah, and her hair changing with it.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Very cool. And I love her outfit. Jada and I were just talking about how cool her Killer Frost outfit is.
The blue leather.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
I want that jacket.
The pretty sweet jacket.
But we're a little confused here about her powers because she seems to have a little more control now.
She does. She's been working on that, but she has established, she tells them that she can do it when she is scared or angry. Or she doesn't say that I can do it when I'm scared or angry, but I change when I am scared or angry. So I'm wondering, it really seems like she does have a lot of control, but if it also just happens when she's scared or angry, how much control does she really have? It just seems a little bit muddy to me. I'm not sure how full her control is.
Yeah.
It seems like she has to keep a tight lid on it. If she lets it go, if she lets it get out of control, then she can turn involuntarily. But it does seem like she's got a fair amount of control. She was ready to go when the team needed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sure was.
And we would like to see her on our show, wouldn't we, Harley?
I personally would. Some of her scenes with the Legends towards the end were some of my favorite. And plus, her and Mick, them two fighting together was fantastic. Oh, yeah. I love their scenes, especially the one where he's like, are you scared now? And was it Oliver? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm not talking to you.
I wondered if he dug her so much because of the whole Cold thing and because of how much he misses Captain Cold.
That's what I was wondering. Too. Yeah. Yeah. It probably touched a tone in him somewhere.
Yeah. He's really a big softy.
He is. Yeah. I mean, that was a cool scene when she made her whole arm like a big ice dagger and it just slicing guys down and the camera's right behind her. That was just a really cool shot. I thought it was
awesome.
Yeah. Very, very fun. But she had some good scenes with everybody when she was working with the ladies. That was a lot of fun with Zari and Iris.
Yeah. Oh, that her sliding onto the Wave Rider on her ice bridge. Very Frozone.
Very Iceman from the X-Men, but it's still cool.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. I also actually, speaking of Iceman and the X-Men, I love how they're referencing Marvel characters on these shows as if our characters are the real living beings and their comic books that they would read is all Marvel stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Too much fun. All right, Harley, where are we going to go next?
Yeah, so I was trying to just, I'm trying to pick out characters as we go along. So the next two that kind of, or storyline, I guess, that kind of falls under our purview as legends would be the whole thing that was going on with Sarah and Alex. Now, you know I'm not watching Supergirl.
Yeah.
But I actually did watch that one episode last year, and I think this that was the episode where Alex kind of made like her big decision, and she came out, and she kind of like decided what she was going to do with her life, and she was going to be true to herself. So I at least had that little bit of background, as much as I griped and complained about having to watch that episode.
Oh, that was such a good episode, though. I loved the way they handled her coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was cool. I don't watch Supergirl, and I was so lost. Those were literally the only parts of the story I understood. Like, the rest of it, I was like, what is happening? But anyway, I digress.
Well, so, yeah, I think a lot of people really loved seeing Sarah and Alex together. I thought it worked for this episode for them to hook up. I don't think they would be a great couple. And the whole reason why Alex and her ex, Maggie, broke up is because Alex really wants kids and Maggie didn't. And I can't see Sarah wanting to start a family anytime soon, what with her lifestyle. So
no.
They did make a really good team, but as far as a couple, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Not a romantic couple, but as a team, as a fighting duo, they were fantastic together. Because there was, I think, two or three action sequences with them fighting side by side. And it looked so good. And everything was timed and choreographed so well. They looked so natural. And I would love to see more of them together. If Alex could come visit our Legend show once in a while, I think you agree with me there, Harley. Like,
yeah, so cool. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Be fun. That was really all I... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, that's, like, really all we have on them for the first two parts of the show.
Mm-hmm.
For just them together. I mean, we follow Sarah throughout the rest of the thing. She's, you know, one of the main heroes that we follow, but she didn't have, like, other than this, she didn't have a standout storyline, you know?
No. Well, how about you, Jada? What did you think of those two together?
I thought they were great together. I enjoyed that they did hook up, only because it was what Alex needed. It helped develop her character and helped settle certain thoughts that she was having. They were great together fighting wise. They were excellent. It was right on point. Alex reminds me a lot of maybe a DC's version of Black Widow almost.
Yeah, that's a good pull.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And I would like them to develop that. Like you said, I would love for her to come over to Legends just for an episode or two, because I think they do get along great. I wouldn't want to see them as a couple because it just doesn't work.
Right.
I don't think it's really there, but she would be a great addition to any of these shows just as a cameo.
Well, totally. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you kind of touched on there, Jada, especially the end sequence when they were saying goodbye, they both kind of helped each other through a few things. So even just as friends, they had some good chemistry between them, where you could see a really strong friendship developing. And that's why we need to see them together more. It'd be great if they brought them together somehow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a great scene later in the episode when Sarah gave Alex a great pep talk about trusting her instincts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. This was a lot about getting Alex to where she needed to be to get her through this breakup that she's just been through. But I loved the little scenes that they had together. So who knows? Maybe we will see more of them in the future.
I guess it'll all depend on feedback and the success of everything. I think there's plenty of positive vibes going out for this event. So the producers of the shows are going to know that they did something right.
And yes, probably, more crossovers.
They're going to pick up on who worked well together and stuff like that. So they might be able to do something creatively. We'll have to see. So we move on to we talked about them a little bit in our opening team up monologues there, but we talked about Iris and Felicity. Anything else we wanted to touch on those two being together?
It was a great homage to Die Hard.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Climbing through the vents and, yeah, that was
Yeah, oh, I think I need to rewatch Die Hard. I totally missed that. It's like, what?
But yeah, I think they did a great job of stalling just long enough for the legends to get there. And Harley, you're absolutely right. Them calling for backup, calling the legends, putting out that distress signal when they discovered that they couldn't break the team out of the pipeline, that was a good call.
Yeah. And exactly. It developed their friendship as well, because they've seen each other more often than really any other girls have gotten together, because Felicity's come to visit Central City quite often. So I like to see them develop that a little bit more and show that they kind of do know each other a little bit. And this wasn't, you know, first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that it continues to develop Felicity's quote unquote superpower. I mean, she's a complete badass with a computer. So I love that she got to show off those skills throughout the crossover as well.
Yeah. She's been doing that quite a bit this season too, because their big bad is a hacker. So she's had to go out into the field and do a little on-site hacking herself.
It's Finch meets Ben Linus. It's amazing. I love it. Yeah, it is. Please tell me everybody got that reference, or at least
I loved him on Lost so much. Yeah.
It's Lost meets Person of Interest. Yeah. I don't know. Martin, I don't think you watched Person of Interest.
I know his character, but I don't watch the TV show.
So
but
good.
It's great. So good.
It's especially fresh in my mind because I just finished having Patty Spivot go through the entire Lost series. So very fresh in our minds.
Should we move on? All right. Well, I wanted to talk about everybody's favorite character, Citizen Cold. And I don't know if this falls under Flash or Legends, but technically neither. I don't really know, but I loved it. I loved this. I wish they hadn't broke this news, because it completely was just a letdown, because I was so excited. And then I was immediately so deflated because I was like, he's leaving.
Yeah.
I want him to stay on Earth One forever, and then Ray can come back and they can live happily ever after.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I want that so bad.
I loved his entrance. How did you guys feel about he kind of came in and rescued the team from evil Quentin Lance?
Oh, so much for you. Had to go and say evil Quentin Lance. I want to talk about him next, but we're on Citizen Cold here, and I loved how it was so contrasted to the Leonard Snart that we knew. Like, this one is positive and happy and likes the boys instead of the girls. Like, it's complete opposite. And it was kind of fun. And I'm wondering that Wentworth Miller must have had fun playing the role, because that is more true to him in real life. So I was actually wondering the chemistry of him and Ray. I'm thinking, is this his actual boyfriend in real life? Because my God, the chemistry those two had was pretty strong.
I don't know about that, but I did have a thought about how nice it must be for them to be able to play both of their own orientations, because, you know, a lot of actors don't get to do that. And their chemistry was just incredible together.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, but no, I thought it was fun. It was great to have him back. I mean, just hearing his voice and the way he talks, you realize how much you miss it when he comes back. And the scenes with him and Mick, I don't think Mick was quite sure how to take him either.
No.
Oh, poor Mick. I felt so bad for him. He thought he was like, Ghost is back.
Yeah, I thought Wentworth Miller was dynamite-esque as Citizen Cold. He had the little goggles, too. That was great.
Yeah.
he played it for everything that it was worth, and it worked so well.
Yeah, they actually pulled from the comics more of his outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
His chemistry with Ray was really good, too. Like you guys were saying, that was probably the most solid performance that I've seen in this crossover. Like, I think he really nailed it. I really, really loved it.
Yeah, and then with his freeze gun, it had some new tricks up its sleeve. We've never seen it fire what I deemed an ice grenade when he took that tower down.
That was awesome.
That was so cool.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. I think a lot of people were quite happy seeing him come back for sure.
Oh yeah. And that entrance was incredible because that, that scene with them in the firing squad, that lineup there, that was in the previews for this episode. And it's one of those things you see and you go, oh my gosh, how are they going to get out of that? And that was the best way for them to get out of that.
That whole sequence was so intense. I was thinking exactly that. How are they going to get out of this? All of, you know, most of our heroes are in a firing squad lineup. This is kind of freaky. Like,
with power dampening collars on, there was no way for them to use their powers. They couldn't just run away.
Yeah. In the moment, I was thinking, uh-oh, there's too many of them. Someone's going to go down in this scene. They're going to actually kill someone off on one of our shows right now. And that's
not
what I was worried. But in that moment, oh man.
I was expecting the Legends to show up in that moment, actually. I know it was a little early in the Flash episode, but they weren't really staying in their lane about any of the episodes being central to any of the characters. So I almost expected that, like, behind the scenes, that the Legends had figured out where everybody was and that they were going to show up. But I liked this much better.
Yeah. I wonder how they would have done that, because they would have had to have opened a portal to get to the Earth X somehow. So that would have been a cool save. Holy.
If they had rescued Sisko behind the scenes, quote unquote. I mean, I'm glad that we saw that rescue. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that was like the only way it would have worked is if they did that off camera. And I'm very glad they didn't do that off camera.
Yeah. Totally. Well, you mentioned his name. I want to talk a bit about Lance because, oh my God.
The Arrow character, Martin.
I know. We won't have to talk too long about him, but I think that was probably the best of the evil portrayals out of everyone that got to play an evil version of himself, because he had the accent, he had the wickedness.
That's his real accent.
Yeah. I thought it was so much fun to see him do that, and he was actually genuinely kind of scary.
He was,
and that scene where he spoke with Sarah, talking about the daughter that he raised, that was chilling.
Yeah, it was.
He killed his own daughter. Oh,
that was one I had in the running for serious scenes. I was going to play it, but yeah, it was tough because you could see it affecting Sarah by the look on her face that there's her dad, but it's not her dad because she obviously hasn't gotten to see him very much. And
right.
To see him look at her and question her first, you know, why are you joining these people? You got blonde hair, blue eyes, you're perfect. You should be with us, you know, because that's what the Nazis were all about, right? The perfect race.
Yeah.
And which I was surprised that they were touching a lot of those racism kind of notes, but very, very risky writing, but well done. It just, yeah. And when he just, like you were saying, Jedda, just said, like, I got rid of my own daughter because she had the same ambitions as you. It was, whoa. That's heavy.
Yeah, he plays Dark very well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right, where to next?
Well, I have The Death of Firestorm next, and it took up a lot of screen time. Like, there's a lot to unpack here, and since my notes are kind of the main thing, I'm just going to have to start, and then y'all are going to have to interrupt me and intersperse okay. the more positive, because I'm going to focus partly on the stuff that bothered me and why, and then I will let you guys bring up the conversation from there. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So the first bit, and this scene just fell a little bit flat with me, because this was obviously well before we had any inkling of what was actually going to happen to them. But they kind of added to part of their ongoing saga to sort of strip Firestorm of their powers. And so they had Stein kind of attempting to tweak the formula, and he ends up giving Jax these like super sticky powers. Which,
well,
like,
that's what was in the vial.
Yeah. Jax didn't end up taking it. Stein had to know that Jax wasn't going to love that, right?
Yeah, I think that was Stein just feeling guilty because he knew that Jax was not really wanting to separate at that point. So I think this was him feeling guilty, trying to figure out a way to at least get Jax some powers. And
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I mean, Jax was getting frustrated and kind of ticked off about it. But, just like you're saying, Harley, it was just continuing that storyline between the two of them, that this is the struggle they're in right now.
Yes, and they continued to hammer it home, and they continued to kind of go on and keep talking about how they're just going to break apart Firestorm, so Stein can go home to his family. And they've been hammering that into our heads all season, and that, I think, is why I'm having such a strong, visceral reaction to the fact that they ended up killing him off. Anyway, all right, let's back up for just 1 second here. So
I'm
going
to have to say, Harley, I'm sorry. You are probably very alone on that feeling.
I know. I was very annoyed. I felt cheated. Because they took us down like one path our entire season. They have spent a good bit of screen time where they should have put like a different spin on it. They didn't need to focus on trying to split apart their powers because they knew they're going to kill him off anyway. They should have focused more, like they did in this episode, on all the bonding scenes. They put them all in this 4-hour episode and they were great. I would have loved to have seen more of that angle and more of the father-son relationship and Stein kind of empowering Jax and kind of, in his way, preparing him for his retirement, even if he doesn't end up retiring. But it was just the way that they kept like focusing on trying to get rid of their powers and not bonding them and investing more in that relationship. Like, I know that they did a little bit, but I don't know. I feel like that would have been better served if they had done more of this throughout Legends instead of having the focus on trying to uncouple Firestorm.
Well,
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, totally. Now that you say that, I was totally fine with it. Until you said that.
oh, no.
I see now how it would have been so much better to actually develop that relationship. We know that they have the psychic bond, but to have seen them have an actual father-son type relationship would have, that would have been so much better. Oh, no.
I know. I'm sorry. I did. I wasn't trying to bring you down.
Well, see, this is what I was saying to Harley behind the scenes to try to counter that, because I'm still having trouble seeing her angle and her take, why she's so upset with all of this. I understand a little bit that you just said about Stein trying to play a more of a fatherly role and help Jax move on. That's a good idea. But I think the way I saw all of this happening is, they've been working on a way to break Firestorm apart to figure out, can Jax keep the powers and Stein move on his own, or do they have to stabilize the Firestorm Matrix somehow, whatever. And we saw all hell break loose in this episode, and we were still on that path with the two of them, but then all hell broke loose and they merged to be Firestorm a couple times because they realized, all right, put this stuff aside. We got matters to take care of. Firestorm is going to be able to take care of those matters. So they become Firestorm, they do their thing. And I think it's in the heat of the moment, the heat of the action, save the world, save our family, save our friends, all of this stuff, that Stein just decides that he has to sacrifice himself in this moment to save everybody, because he was the only one. They were going to pull that switch to take the lock off the portal so that everybody could come through and win this fight. Just in the moment, Stein, he wasn't thinking of all this other stuff. He's like, we have to do this. I'm going to have to sacrifice. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't thinking he's going to get shot. He was making a run for it, but he did put himself on the line as the only way he knew how. They had to go in two different directions. They're the only two there that could do it at that point in time. And it just happened. Stuff just happened. So
I don't think they should have split. I think they should have stayed together and gone and done one thing and then flipped the switch. I don't think it was necessary to split them up, because the entire point of splitting them up was to make them vulnerable, and that didn't sit well with me. We also have a speedster. Come on. Barry could have run in and flipped that stupid switch at any time.
Where was Barry? No, he was in an entire different area.
Barry was fighting Red Tornado.
He wasn't even
Wasn't
there.
He done with Red Tornado by that time?
No.
And when they stopped Red Tornado, he was basically at the place.
I don't know. I'm with you, though, that I don't understand why they needed to split, because it's not like they needed to do those two things at the same time.
Right.
They did one thing, and then they did the next. Like, Jax did his thing, and then Stein did his thing. So, yeah, if they had stuck together, they should have given us a better reason for them to split up if they had to split up.
I agree.
Now you're harping on the writing of it, but that's okay.
Well, but that's my whole issue with it, is the writing and the decision of what they did with these characters. That's my whole issue. That's my whole problem with it. It wasn't the acting. The way they acted it was beautiful. All of the scenes between them were fantastic and touching and heart-wrenching. And I hated and loved every minute of it.
But you see, the other thing I was trying to say, too, behind the scenes, is that I think this is the way they wrote the character of Stein on the show versus what they were planning to do. Oh, we're just going to break up Firestorm and I'm going to retire and go be a grandpa and whatever. That to me is actually, yeah, it would have been nice because we love Stein. We don't want him to die. Not separating those feelings, but really it's kind of a lame way to write him off.
Shouldn't have brought it up in the first place.
Yeah, but Stein got to be...
They shouldn't have spent so much time on it. They shouldn't have developed it and been telling us where he's just going to retire. He's just going to retire. And then pull out the rug and be like, oh, JK, we spent all this time on investing you in this part of the storyline, but we're just going to completely switch directions and just kill him off.
I was 2 days away from retirement.
Yeah, but Stein got to go. He says it in his final words to Jax. He got to be on the adventure of a lifetime. He got to be a hero, and he got to die being a hero, saving the team. And I think that is a way better send-off to how great a character he was than to just let him walk off into the sunset and be all. I just think it allowed the culmination of everything, because when we first met Stein on The Flash a couple seasons ago, he was so excited to join the team and get to learn about time travel and learn about alternate Earths and all that. He was, I wish I was a kid so I could, you know, he was so excited about it. He still got to live that adventurous, exciting life that he always wanted to have. And this was, to me, a better way for him to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he had retired, then they could have gone back to him every once in a while when they needed his help.
That's it. That's exactly it. Not only did they write off and kill off Stein, they've written off Jax and Firestorm. I mean, Jax is a mechanic. He is effectively, literally, just a mechanic. What are they going to do with him?
Well, I did think they were trying to find a way. Yeah, I thought they were going to try to give him Firestorm.
Just exactly.
To make him Firestorm on his own.
Okay, but you are way jumping the gun here. This just happened. We have no idea what's going to happen to Jax. We know the Firestorm Matrix cannot be contained in one person. That's not how it was created. It needs two people to operate. So right now, Jax could just be a regular person, but the Matrix might be unstable. He might eventually need to bond with somebody new. I know there's theories online. People are talking about maybe Lily can bond with him, which would be a whole new direction.
Wow. The whole point of the serum was to rewrite their DNA. There is no more Firestorm. It's gone. They killed it with Stein.
Yeah, we don't know any
otherwise,
of that. We don't know that yet.
That is what they presented on this episode.
Nah.
In the comics, there are quite a few people who have been Firestorm through some kind of magical comic book switcheroo type stuff.
So, that's what I mean. Exactly. I do not think they're going to reduce Jax to just the ship's mechanic. If that actor is staying on the show, they're going to find a way to write something to happen to him where he either joins with someone new to be Firestorm because he becomes unstable, or he wants to power up with someone and they recreate it, or whatever. Who knows? Something is happening.
I wouldn't be surprised if we spend a little time with him, a journey of finding his purpose now because of Stein's death.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it too, because they actually dealt with that in one episode where he has to find him, you know, become his own man and become confident and, you know, figure himself out. They actually did that very recently, so that's a very good point. He might continue that for a little bit.
Yeah, I hope they don't spend too much time doing that. As I told you guys behind the scenes, he's not my favorite actor on the show. I think he did all right. There were quite a few moments in this crossover where I was actually very impressed with him. The scenes in which Stein died, I thought he was a little forced, a little you know, trying to cry. I just wanted somebody to splash some water on his face so it looked like he was crying. But
yeah, that's what we were saying. Yeah, he couldn't even bring the tears, which
no,
Victor Garber was just outdoing him.
Oh, Victor Garber, you can't out-act Victor Garber. He's just incredible. So unfortunately, you know, unless you're an actor of Victor's caliber, he's just going to act circles around you. And this poor kid, you know, unfortunately, he had to keep up with Victor Garber. But so I don't know. I think I would like to see them find a really good use for Jax. But I do hope that it's not some, you know, really drawn out storyline.
Yeah, no, if it turns into a drawn out storyline, I'm going to be continue to be unhappy with it.
Great. It's going to be some fun Legends podcast to come.
Yeah, you had your whole thing with the Dominators. This whole Death of Firestorm, this is my soapbox.
Okay, fair enough. Jada, what side of the fence are you taking here?
You know, I don't know.
Oh, no. Sorry.
You wimp.
You can leave me all on my own. It's okay. I'm used to it.
I think they will bring in some of another character. Well, it would make sense for them to bring in another character that has been Firestorm to complete Firestorm. It only makes sense, but it would be nice to see them develop Jax a little bit. He can come off as kind of flat sometimes. And much like Julia said, sometimes he's not my favorite actor. To tell you the truth, the sad scenes, he pulled me out just a little bit, but I don't know.
Well, straight up question. Do you like that they killed Stein off for the story? Of course you don't like it because we lose a character, or would you have rather have seen him get to retire?
I like the idea that they killed him off because it was such gravitas, and it really pulled at the heartstrings. Mm-hmm. But they could have done him better. They could have let him go home. Did you see his wife? Did you see his daughter? Oh my God, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so what sad. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that little baby will never know his grandfather.
It was 100% for shock, value, and drama, and that bothers me.
Well, yeah, the shock doesn't bother me so much, and I am a sucker for tragedy, so his death, you know, I cried a lot, but I don't really mind that they killed him off, and who knows, I mean, they're time travelers, maybe we'll see him again.
Hey, there you go. That's true.
There's my out. He's a time traveler.
But I mean, if you think about it, an epic event of this proportion, not everybody can survive it. It, like you just said, Jade, it took a lot of guts to kill somebody off, but I kind of feel like they had to. When you're fighting the Nazis, and as evil as it was, someone had to go.
It's been a while since we've lost a character as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. That's a good point. I was thinking about that earlier. I just remember reading so many major crossovers as a kid, and thinking, oh my God, they just killed this character. And that was always a big thing you were scared of when you were reading the crossovers, is who's going to die or what crazy change is going to happen that they won't be able to undo. And, well, I guess this time it was Stein.
Womp womp.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've revved each other up enough there. let's this big final battle, let's move into that, because, man, there was so much going on. I mean, I'll just throw out a few scenes here. There's that scene where Metallo shows up in Star Labs, and we've got a group of heroes all facing him at once, where we finally see some Team Arrow come into play there. We got the big battle going on out on the street. There's so much that happened in these last, whatever, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour of the show that it was. Let's talk about that scene, the one I just brought up, when Metallo shows up, because how cool was that? When you have all these powers combining to take him down, I don't remember who was all in there, but just so much fun. And I loved, one of my favorite bits was when Dinah, who's one of my favorite characters from Arrow, when she dives behind the crate with Cisco and she says, oh my God, that's like the Terminator. And he's like, I love a pulp culture reference.
Yes. I almost chose that as my favorite funny line.
So, yeah, I loved it. What'd you guys think of all of that?
You know, that too felt like it was straight out of the comic books. You always get these big splashes, these big full spreads of like all the characters firing whatever abilities they have at the big bad villain. It was wonderful. It was glorious. I loved it.
Oh yeah, it was amazing. I was on the edge of my seat, just like tears and laughter and amazement through the whole thing.
Totally.
Yeah, I loved every minute of that whole montage. I loved everybody coming together to kind of use all their powers together, and the way that they all like kind of took turns. You know, it was just a little different shot every single time, a little different substance, so he couldn't quite like get his bearings. It was good.
Yeah, yeah, it was really, really cool. And then from there, like I said, the street scene. We've got Flash versus Thawne again, and you know, Oliver versus Dark Oliver, and just everything that was going on, the entire sequence. It was so cool. I'll dial it back to Flash and Thawne. I just thought it was so cool to see them in one of their epic battles again. It was so awesome. It's still awesome.
And everything was frozen or in slow motion behind them when they were fighting.
Yeah.
I think I gasped when that happened. It was so cool.
And, you know, it seemed like Barry was beating him. Barry was definitely besting him. He got a couple of really powerful punches in there, like without breaking a sweat. It was great.
You know what? Barry is faster now than he ever has been when fighting Erebard before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had him in the end. If he chose to, he could have, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But well, I think because this is whether it's a remnant or an Eobard that hasn't quite been here yet, even though he knows everything, excuse me, Barry has got all the experience and the practice of facing him so many times. So that's why Barry was able to get the upper hand this time. And it just looked cool. I always love watching them race through the city.
And, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was just when they raced up the skyscrapers across from each other and then jumped and met in the middle. Oh my God, that was so cool.
So cool. So cool. But since we're talking about those two, let's bring up that one point about Barry letting him go, because it seems
okay,
to
why?
Be
that's, why?
See what I mean? Polarizing.
Why?
The only answer I have, and you guys can all respond to it, is that Barry will not kill anybody. We know that. That's a fact from the comic books, from his entire history. Barry does not kill.
Nobody knocks people out and puts them in the pipeline.
Exactly. That's. Yeah, that's the only counter to it. Why just let him go? Does anybody have an answer or a theory to that?
So he can come back another day. Literally, that's it.
There's no explanation. Literally. I don't know why he lets him go, and I don't know why Eobard doesn't just turn around and try to kill him again.
Right? Why does he just walk off? Like, I don't get it.
Well, it makes you wonder if that'll come back later.
I'm sure it will. You know they'll keep bringing him back. Like you said, he's the greatest villain. Although technically, I mean, I guess they could have killed him, but I know Barry wasn't going to do that. I mean, that's the whole point where they're trying to make with last season's Savitar thing. But I don't know. I mean, he's going to keep coming back either way, whether you kill him or not, I guess, is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then just go ahead and kill him. Yeah. There are gonna be more of him, just kill him.
Yeah. It's not like he truly ever dies. Well, I mean, he does, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been Oliver firing an arrow right through his forehead, which would have replaced, if you guys saw the Flashpoint Paradox animated movie, it was Ooh. Batman that shot him through the head with a gun. So
yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything but the way they did it. I just didn't understand why it happened the way it did. I mean, he could have just escaped somehow, or yeah, somebody else could have gotten in the way, or I have questions.
Now, you
I think
know,
we all do.
I can see Barry finally coming to the realization that this is a battle that he's going to be having forever. That this is just the way it's going to be, him versus Thawne. Mm-hmm. But they didn't show that. They should have shown that, or they should have given us some hint of that. Instead, Barry was just like, man, go ahead, get out of here. I don't know.
And you worded it almost perfectly there, Jada. It's the same Flash and Eobard Thawne, or Reverse Flash, is very much likened to Batman and the Joker or Superman and Lex Luthor.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's their classic villains. That's their number one villain. And you can't have one without the other. That's just the way it is. And I think that's kind of what they're showing us here.
Well, isn't there a whole Batman arc? Maybe there's several, but I thought there was one like specific one between him and Joker where like they go back and forth and he has the opportunity to get rid of him and he can't because he comes to the realization that they can't live without one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I guess it's kind of that kind of same deal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I try to remind everyone, that this Reverse Flash is to Barry like Joker is to Batman or Lex Luthor is to Superman, ignoring the Man of Steel movie.
Oh,
wow. You know, now that being said, though, that's only in a matter of killing him. There are a ton of other things he could have done to subdue him.
Exactly.
He could have phased his hand through his leg or something to cripple him, or just, I don't know, but he didn't have to let him go.
Yeah. That then hopefully we get some answers to that on more Flash episodes. We'll have to see. All I can say to reiterate what Harley said in the beginning is it was so cool to see Tom Cavanaugh get to play the role again.
Yeah, it was.
Now, during all of this stuff, a little scene that I loved was when Wells was what they were saying there. I think it was when he was telling Killer Frost and the girls to get up there. Or no, sorry, wrong. It was when Overgirl was about to explode and Supergirl's like, what do I do? And he's like, get her up and away.
And away. Yes.
Oh, he had some of the best lines. That was just priceless. But then
gotta love a good pop culture reference.
Oh, totally. But then that Killer Frost scene, I think we mentioned earlier when she skates up. Oh. I mean, that was a great little moment in there. The special effects for all of this, can you imagine how much they blew the budget for this show? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see cardboard cutouts for actors in the next few episodes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why we haven't been seeing, especially on our show, we've mentioned several times the lack of special effects, mm-hmm. like the lack of the Adam suit, the lack of Firestorm. The lack of, even Amaya is not using her powers as much. Nate is not able to steal more often than not. So,
yeah.
And true. I think this is why they were saving it, if you will, or used it. I don't know, however you want to look at that for all of this, which it was very well done. I am not complaining in the least.
It was worth it. Fantastic. Absolutely worth it.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned a couple of Legends characters we haven't brought up yet. Let's talk about Zari and Nate a little. I mean, I think Zari's real highlight of this was getting her own costume, and she's like, I didn't want to feel left out, so that was kind of fun.
That was pretty funny.
I liked it. It was a good costume. I was wondering if they were going to pull in the old Isis type of look. Right?
Oh, my God.
But they didn't, so she looked pretty cool. And Nate actually had a good scene. He actually had a really good fight sequence when all of this was happening on the ground there, when he steeled up and got to fight and deflect bullets. It was a really good scene for him. What I thought was really, really cool was when Supergirl was falling from the sky and he catches her.
Yes.
That...
I actually had a thought when she was falling. I thought, ooh, is Superman going to show up and catch her? But no, it was the other Man of Steel.
And he had the best line. It's only fitting that the Man of Steel catches the Girl of Steel. Like, there were so many great lines in this.
Yeah. He also had a great line earlier when he released him from the pipeline, and he was like, who needs an army when you've got legends?
Yeah. Yeah, he was so proud there.
Yeah.
So yeah, some of these characters had some great scenes. Even Wild Dog from Arrow had one little action shot for himself when he was taking guys down.
That was really cool.
Yeah. So at least everybody had a moment to shine, and I love that they did that. And it just made the entire battle sequence just a thrill to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the conclusion of this episode. What do you got to say about how everything ended, Harley?
This is just like the rest of my reactions that just didn't fit into anything.
Okay.
So I've been trying to delete as we've kind of touched on some of these things. So I am going to jump around for a second. While we were talking about this final battle, I did kind of want to just talk about one thing that it was surprising, but not surprising, was just Oliver just unceremoniously, like, literally killing himself.
Ooh, like, yeah.
I was like, because I wasn't expecting him to do it, even though knowing, like, he knows, like, what pure evil his other self is. And so when he just, like, let the arrow go and just dude drops dead, I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between Ollie and Barry. Ollie will kill people if he has to.
He sure will.
Yep.
A lot.
Sure will.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, was that just after or just before Barry lets Eobard go?
I think that was after. I think the death shots were after that.
Were after. It was an interesting dichotomy, Leslie just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
What else was that was so kind of a little bit chilling about that scene was he waited till he turned around, waited until they were face to face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, imagine how that feels, though. Like, there's a mirror image of yourself, and you're going to, you have the, I don't know, the resolve to be able to fire an arrow into his heart at point blank range.
Yeah, it's kind of my point is, I mean, it speaks more to Oliver's character. I mean, he has that detachment. He has, you know, his 5 years in hell, quote unquote, you know, he has that within him. Barry doesn't really have that, or he might, he just may not conveniently be remembering it right now. I fully believe he went through some stuff in the Speed Force that's going to come back to haunt him. But it's just, yeah, it was a testament to his character. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it still makes sense. It still suits him. It's just, I think they're really pulling on the fact that the Nazis are the main villain here, and his counterpart is the leader of the Nazis.
And the Führer.
Yeah. So the Nazis, they're one of the worst bad guys in history, and they wouldn't hold back, wouldn't hold any punches. They're going to kill everybody themselves. So it seemed kind of fitting that, you know, might as well cut off the head of the snake or they'll keep coming back.
Yeah, almost self-defense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get down to the wedding bit, because after all of that, we had a very nice ending.
Oh, we sure did. Here's where I cried a lot more. But good, happy tears.
Now, let's do a little round table here. Are we all happy that Oliver and Felicity got married? Are we all happy that Flash and Iris finally got married?
I am.
Okay.
I'm happy Barry and Iris got married.
You're not an Felicity fan.
It's not so much that I'm not an Felicity fan. I could go either way with that. It really depends. Thinking about Felicity kind of takes me out of the story. I'd rather that they pick a direction and they write it well. But I don't really have an opinion on it. But as far as Barry and Iris, I wanted them to get married. I really wanted that to work out. Here's to wishing you good luck for Felicity.
See, I think that what they did with Felicity is they did make a decision, and I was glad that they finally just married them and said, okay, this is what we're doing. They're married now. Now we can move forward. Mm-hmm. So, and I know a lot of people have been over Felicity for a while, and they didn't want to see them get together after the last time they tried to get married. I love them together. I might be in the minority there, but I think they're a great team. I think they make each other better people. And, well, she certainly makes him a better person. I don't know. She's just amazing anyway. But I loved it. I thought they were great together. I think, obviously, I love that Barry and Iris finally got to get married. And I loved the way it happened, pulling Diggle in. And every time Diggle pukes after Barry speeds him somewhere, just cracks me up. But I loved all of that, with the exception of the fact that Felicity totally hijacked Barry and Iris' wedding.
Yeah.
She could have waited a minute, let them get married, and then asked Ollie to marry her.
That's true. That is a very valid point. Yeah, very, very valid. But you know what, Julie? You are not in the minority. Over on Arrow Squad, we talk about Oliver and Felicity quite a bit, and I think the majority is now in favor of them being together because the way the show has handled it this season, it's not forced. Everything has felt natural and organic and flowed the way it feels like it would in a real life situation, and that's why it works so well this time. And,
oh, good, good. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
And there's no drama for the sake of drama, which is the part of Felicity I didn't like in, was it season four?
Yeah,
three?
Season four, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drama for the sake of drama, not cool. Just like make a decision. I like that they made a decision and I'm happy with that. And they make each other better people. So.
Yep. And then just to re-say what you were saying, Julia, just having Diggle finally come in and allow him to at least be part of this a little bit.
Yeah.
Was so much fun. And he played the part well. He's actually really good at comedy. He was quite funny.
Oh, and, yeah.
I say this often, but the guy is huge.
I was just about to say, they had him in that t-shirt showing off those guns. Oh, my goodness. His arms are huge.
They are.
Oh, very, very huge. But good on them. All right, guys. I think we have thoroughly covered as much as we could about this four-show epic event. We should get on to some of the Legends featured sections and get to that. How's that sound?
All right.
All right. Here comes some nitpicks.
Form of water.
All right, Harley, you've touched on a little bit. Kick us off.
All right. My first nitpick, and this would be kind of this and a few other little things that downgraded my 0.5 of the episode officially. Didn't like that they used the term supernova with Supergirl and then had her explode, like, literally not very far outside of the Earth's atmosphere. Because that's not how real science works if it were actually a supernova.
Yeah. No, I understand you in the terminology. The only thing I'm going to counter with that is that I think they just use the term supernova to describe what's going to happen because they're all in a panic. And, oh, my God, she's going to explode like a supernova. You know, I think it was just a terminology when all it really was it's like a nuclear bomb going off. Kind of like saying you feel like you got hit by a freight train when you have a bad headache. You didn't really get hit by a freight train. You know, it's that's the only thing I can really counter that with.
Eh.
Bad terminology.
They also had Curtis drop some real supernova science, I will have you know. Yeah. So that is truly why it bothered me as a nitpick. My unofficial. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I completely agree. It would have been one thing if Curtis hadn't explained exactly how she was going to go supernova.
Exactly. He even referenced the Chandrasekhar limit. That is literally the definition of a supernova. Literally.
Well, maybe they just guessed wrong and she wasn't as powerful as supernova then.
Good thing, maybe. Because our solar system should have been wiped off the face of the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe because she had been so weakened that the supernova was also weakened.
Sure.
Science?
Hashtag comic books?
Yeah.
Hand wavy. Oh.
Of course, you know, my second nitpick was that they killed Stein. It just didn't resonate with me. That's it. We talked at length about
we
that, so I am not
that.
Saying so any more about that.
I hear you. That's fine. No worries there.
Oh, Flash, you can discuss the fact that you have no nitpicks.
I really don't have any major nitpicks this event because it was so massive and so well executed. I don't think they hardly missed on anything other than very minor details. So if I had to pick anything, and this is what I mean by minor, not even from our two shows, Flash and Legends here, but it was on the Supergirl Part 1. With that whole fun, goofy, cheesy opening sequence we were talking about, she's fighting the Dominator, and she just leaves it on the street, knocked out, and flies away. Like, what? Like, there's
bothered me too.
People walking around, and she leaves an alien.
I assumed from somebody from the DEO was going to come collect that body.
I hope so.
I guess so. So that's what I mean by minor. And then the other little bit was, I found that Supergirl, Melissa Benoist, I found her acting evil took a while to get there. In the very first part of this crossover, she was not very good at being evil. She was more pouty than angry. But I think she got better. Once she wasn't just trying to be angry, once she started acting annoyed and frustrated and we just got to kill these guys, that's when it started amping up and getting better. So I just think she struggled in the first episode with it. That's all.
I think she's just such a sweet girl that she has real trouble being bad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We'll go with that.
When she was being quote unquote evil, like nice evil, and she would have her like semi fainting spells, that kind of pulled me out a little bit. I have to admit, she just looked like she stumbled a little bit, but not really anything was wrong. I don't know. It's a nitpick. It's something very small. So,
right. Well, since you're talking, why don't you say what your actual nitpick is, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, nitpicks are things that are small and completely unimportant. So mine was bullets and soldiers not knowing how to shoot.
Yeah, what are these, stormtroopers?
Stormtroopers are Cobra soldiers in G.I. Joe.
And we had a whole army of Nazis, and they weren't an army that wasn't being used. They had already conquered a world. And out of all of that, only two bullets ever hit their target. Yes, it was Stein.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that just seemed amazing to me. And, you know, to tell you the truth, although I love that Iris and Felicity really showed their true power, they should be dead.
Yeah.
I know that sounds harsh.
No.
But when dropped from a ceiling in front of two well-trained Nazi killing machines, you probably aren't going to have enough time to take their guns from them. They should have been trained and ready to pull those triggers. But, I mean, of course, that couldn't happen. And, well, I guess that's why it's a nitpick.
Yeah. You know, it's a very valid nitpick, actually. The fact, if you think of how many soldiers there were and they all had machine guns, how many bullets were flying, someone somewhere should have got nicked or hit or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, somebody other than Stein.
Stein was the bullet sponge. He was the only one that was going to die. So, you know.
I mean, half of our heroes are wearing armor of some kind. I guess, well, actually, Jetta, if you think about it, Steel got hit quite a bit, but guess what? Doesn't work on him, right?
That's true.
Very true.
But there were a couple of scenes where I noticed that with all of the chaos going on in the background, there were people like Sarah and Alex doing hand-to-hand combat with these Nazis. And I thought, why didn't those Nazis have guns? Well, who are these random Nazis fighting in this battle without guns?
It's like
they ran out of bullets. I don't know. Felicity and Iris stole them. I don't know.
If there's such a thing as soulmates of villains or nemesises, I guess you just find each other. The non-weapon carrying people found each other in the big battle.
Hey, they don't have guns. Let's fight them.
Yeah.
That seems logical.
But very valid one. All right, Julia, how about you? What do you have?
Well, my nitpick. So at the very end, when we're saying goodbye to everybody and sending people back through their portals, we've learned that the Ray is from Earth 1, right? And Leo is from Earth X. But Leo decides to stay on Earth 1 and the Ray goes back to Earth X. And I don't understand why. They didn't give us any reason. And if these two are so in love with each other, if the person I'm in love with says to me, hey, I'm just going to stay in this alternate universe, I'm not going to be like, okay, see ya. I'm going to say, why, first of all, and what are you going to do here? And when are you coming back? Like, can we have a conversation about this? They had no conversation. It was just kind of a, okay, alternate reality, alternate universe. I guess I'll see you later. I was so confused by that. And I wonder why Ray doesn't want to see his family. And I know he wants to go help save Earth X, but what stock does he have in Earth X if the man he loves is staying on Earth 1?
I thought the same thing. I'm totally with you on this. I didn't get it either.
That's, yeah, that's...
I 100% agree. I'd have to say it's probably budget.
Budget.
But it's a...
I liked the Ray a lot. I think it would be really cool to have him around, especially if Leo is staying on Earth One, if we're going to see him more in this season of The Flash, maybe, or on other shows. I don't know if he's going to show up on Legends or somewhere else, but I think it would be really cool to have the two of them together. And who knows, maybe Ray will come back. We have portals. We can bring people back. But yeah, I was so confused about that whole thing. And my other little nitpick, of course, we've already talked about, was the whole Barry letting Eobard thing go. I just don't understand.
And we talked about that. But I agree with you about Snart and Ray not staying together. Like, first off, why is Snart staying? He didn't really say why. He didn't give a reason.
He sure didn't.
And Ray to just be, why? I mean, Earth One is Ray's home world. Why would you go back? I guess you've been fighting the Nazi cause for a very long time. You just, if you're a true hero, you need to stay and finish the fight to make sure that world survives. I guess that's acceptable, but hopefully we see Snart's character and we get that fleshed out a little bit more. They may have just written Ray right off completely. He was just here for the... It was kind of weird to introduce a brand new superhero for a crossover event when we already have enough superheroes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And a really cool superhero, too. I like that actor a lot as well. And Data, I don't know if you recognized him. He was Alonzo from the Titanic episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, yes. I love Russell Tovey. He's awesome. Yes. He was also George the Werewolf on Almost Human.
Excellent.
I mean, sorry, on Being Human.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was like, I don't remember werewolves on Almost Human.
Sorry.
I must have slept through that episode.
he's great. But, you know, I think part of the reason that he had to go back, and it's not a good reason, is that Freedom Fighters is coming out in the next day or two, which is the next installment of the CW's animation series. And it's all about Ray and all of those guys on Earth X doing exactly that, cleaning up all the craziness that's back there.
Like I said, it's not good.
That's why you had to go back.
Wow.
Interesting.
Jeez. Okay.
Then I guess I'm going to have to watch that then.
Seriously.
Awesome. Yeah, well, that's some pretty good nitpicks. I think actually everybody is pretty valid there. Let's move on to our favorite section.
Yes.
And it's quote of the week.
Shape out an eagle!
All right, so I know you guys aren't usually part of this. How we usually do it, we pick four funny quotes and four serious scenes from our Legends episode that we like. This time we thought we'd let you guys take part, and you've each picked a favorite funny quote and a favorite serious scene. But first, we got to talk about the winners from last week. So Harley, what was our favorite funny quote from last week?
The winner was Mick of the Jungle.
All right. Here it is.
Too many trees. Too many plants.
We'll be back in concrete in no time.
Oh, bugs! Flies!
It was a great scene. I just love it.
I loved him in that entire episode. He was so good.
He was so good.
I hope they keep him around for a long time.
I hope so. I mean, he's really had to take on a big role with Snart not being there, and I think he's doing a pretty good job of it.
For sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, picking four funny quotes out of a four-hour event could not have been easy. But what did you find for us? You got two. What'd you find there, Harley?
I did. And I actually picked both of mine from part four, just to keep it easy on myself. And so the first one is called Warm Cold.
Here it is.
We're not done helping yet. Our enemies are still on your earth, Ollie.
Don't call me that.
Give it time. I'll get through that crusty exterior.
No, you really won't.
I was talking to you.
Yes.
That one was funny. They used that one in the big promotional trailer too, but it's still pretty funny.
I know, but I liked it.
All right, and what's number two for this week?
Ex-partners.
No need to numb your feelings with alcohol.
ghost is back.
Nope, not a ghost. I'm Leo. Leo Snart from Earth X. It's okay, buddy. I know you're hurting over Firestorm.
Get your hand off me.
What is wrong, partner? Talk to me.
You're not my partner. You're a gangbanger.
I think you mean doppelganger.
fun stuff. All right, well, number three.
I had to choose that one. A Mick and Snart quote. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you did. All right, well, I threw one in just because there's just too many funny ones. There's way too many lines, and we discussed quite a few of them throughout the show, but this one I just loved, and I called it Red Leader.
This is just like Star Raiders on Atari, except it's real!
Cut the chatter, Red 2, fly the ship.
Launching Torpedo 1.
You don't have to say it out loud.
Yes!
Again, with the pop culture references and the Star Wars shout-out, just so much fun.
Yes, and Cisco and Wells together.
Comedic gold.
Totally. All right, Julia, we got you to pick one out. What is yours for this?
I picked one from part three, so from the Flash episode, and this one is called That's the Plan.
Barry, Ray, we know. Stop up flying robot somehow.
Good. The rest of us will open the breach.
That's the whole plan.
Well, as a Snart we know used to say, make a plan, execute the plan, expect the plan to go off the rails, throw away the plan.
Wow, that is terrible advice. I always have a plan, down to the second, so nothing ever goes wrong.
Oh, I love that so much. And I'm also a sound designer for the theater, and one of my favorite parts of that is the change in music behind him when he says that's terrible advice, and we get that little doot.
Yeah, it's just hilarious.
That is brilliant sound designing.
good choice. All right, Jada, how about you?
Well, my quote was something from Felicity, and it's called Girl Power.
All right, here it is.
Take that, you Nazi mother!
I had to choose that. That's what it was all about. It was about punching Nazis and being awesome while you do it.
Yeah.
I approve too.
She almost thought she was going to say it, but mother, woo! too much fun. All right, let's move on to the scene of the week. And these were serious scenes that we choose out of the episode usually. And it's usually something that's very dramatic or full of the feels, or really just has heavy meaning to what's going on. So last week, the winner was Nothing to Lose.
This is insubordination, son. I wouldn't have expected that from you.
Well, you know me.
Lower your weapon.
Lower yours. I got nothing to lose. But you do. You get to go home. But if you kill these people, you'll hear their screams forever. And one day, when you have a family, you won't be able to look them in the eye. Because this day, this act you're about to commit will be burned in your memory forever.
Why'd you do that?
I always wanted to.
That was a really good scene.
Yeah.
Do you guys both watch Legends of Tomorrow?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, you good? So that's all very familiar to you.
Yeah, like I said, that was a really incredible episode for Mick and the development of his character, because he's always just like the funny guy, you know. But that, to have him spend that whole episode with his father and for him to realize some things about himself. Oh man, that was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was really, really good. All right, Harley, you want to do the introductions here and like we usually do?
Yeah, sure. So what do you have for our first serious scene this week?
Well, man, you know what? I also could have found, I think I had five marked down in my notes, and I had to narrow it down to two because we're allowing Julie and Jada to also throw one in here. So, so I got a couple here. I picked a couple that I thought were relevant. So the very first one is called Superhero Pals.
You clean up nice, my friend.
Thanks. Yeah, you too.
I can't believe you're really doing this.
Yeah, man. What can I say? I got the girl. And so did you. You ever think about making it official?
Again? Yeah. I think that with everything going on right now, it's just not the... it's not the right time.
You love her?
I love her so much.
Put a ring on her. People like us are always going to be getting into trouble, right? Having someone we love by our side just makes getting out of that trouble that much easier. We have something to fight for. If I can have my happy ending, so can you. I promise.
I'm supposed to be the all-knowing mentor.
I have been known to catch up. What's wrong? He didn't react to my joke. Oh, that's fine. He got it.
See, now, I love that whole scene.
The reason I used that one, because it was right in the very beginning of episode one, and I thought a lot of people may have forgotten that we had that moment. And what it did is it reminded me of last year's crossover event when the entire thing ended with Barry and Oliver at the bar kind of having a bro moment and talking about their lives, which a lot of people agreed was probably the best scene in the entire event, was just seeing them get to hang out as buds in non-superhero form. So this scene just reminded me of that again, and it's just showing that these guys, even though they're in different cities and they don't see each other a lot, they truly are, you know, really good pals.
They are. I always like scenes with the two of them, which we don't get a lot, so that's why the first part was kind of nice.
Yeah, I sometimes forget that Barry started out on Arrow.
I do too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
technically.
Technically.
All right, well, what do we have for our second scene?
Second one, I went to kind of our legend side, and I called it Sarah Remembers.
I'm sorry. I want to save Kara, and I want to get back to Maggie.
Maggie is...
complicated?
Yeah. I had a Maggie too. And I think about going back to her all the time. Look, Alex, you seem like a pretty thoughtful person. And if you thought it wasn't going to work out and had to end it, I'm sure that reason was valid. Trust your instincts.
Now, the reason that one is in there is because for three seasons of Legends, and what I've been hearing over on Arrow Squad, everybody is wondering, why has Sarah not gone back to find Nyssa? Where is Nyssa? And this
good question.
Yeah. This finally answers that, or at least I hope calms the masses a little bit, that Sarah does think about Nyssa and she hasn't forgotten about her. And that's why I wanted to play that one.
Good yeah. point.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to move on to our next one, which I think is Julia's favorite scene. So, Julia, what do you have for us?
This one is called Father and Son.
All right.
Jefferson?
Oh, Gray, I'm busy, man.
Yes, I can see that, but I was hoping you might take a moment away from your ruminations on dystopian alternative history to accept my apology. I may be a learned man, but I'm not always an astute one. I think I was just so thrilled with the reality of my imminent departure that I neglected to consider your feelings.
Look, man, I'm not trying to take you away from your family.
You are my family. Long before I unexpectedly found myself with a daughter, I found myself unexpectedly with a son.
Yeah, I know.
You know, do you? Look around you. We're standing in one of the darkest places imaginable. Yet somehow, I'm optimistic. Do you know why?
Because you're a crazy old man.
Yes. No. Because I'm standing here with you. You are a better son than I could have ever hoped for. And no length of time or distance will ever change that.
I
Apology accepted. Come in.
Aww.
Yep.
You made me cry again.
I know.
You're crying. Shut up.
I felt it too.
That's what we needed more of all season.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that moment between the two of them because, I wanted more of that as well. And I don't know, maybe I would have liked Jax more if I'd had more moments like that with Martin because they are a good team when they're working together. And I don't like seeing them fight. And so seeing them make up in this moment was just really lovely. And the way that Martin apologized to him,
I
just pulled at my heartstrings.
Yeah. I totally agree with everything you guys said. It would have been nice if we had more scenes like that for sure.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next one. Oh, I'm going to cry just from reading the description because this scene, despite my anger at all of this, hit me pretty hard. So why don't you go ahead and introduce it?
Yeah, this is a good one. This one's called Caitlin Says Goodbye.
Goodbye, my love. Thank you for believing in me. Tell Ronnie I miss him.
Thank you for bringing me home to her.
That said so much. Oh, my goodness. Caitlin, I mean, arguably the reason she has almost split personalities is because of all the trauma that she's gone through. And she knows that Stein can't hear her and that he'll never really tell Ronnie I miss him. But she's still got to say it. Oh, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, I think where it made me feel so much, too, is because Stein got introduced on The Flash as well. And he had such a great relationship with everybody on that show. And it was so good to see Stein and Caitlin have a few scenes together here. So that's what I think really made it sink in of her saying goodbye as well.
Just all of their goodbyes. Every single one of them was heart-wrenching.
It was very much. All right. I'm going to finish it off with, I think, the scene that everybody is probably expecting to hear. Because there was no scene in this event that is more heart-wrenching.
All right, if we have to.
Grab your tissues. Everybody be ready. This is Stein's farewell.
I'm dying.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm old, Jefferson. And even if I hadn't been shot, no one lives forever.
Great. I don't even want to hear you talking like that, man.
As long as we're connected, nothing more than an anchor around your neck, which is why you must help me.
I don't understand. Not Cisco's drug.
Gideon resynthesized the liquid. She assures me it will free you from my body's biology.
And it will free you of mine. I'm the only thing that's keeping you alive, man. You're asking me to kill you, Gray?
I'm asking you to let me die so that you may live. Please hand me the vial.
No.
I know you think you're strong enough for both of us, but unless I do this, we'll both die.
Then we'll both die. I don't...
No. You have your whole life ahead of you. But now it's time for you to let me go.
I'm not ready for you to go.
I'm not either. But when you think about it, compared to the cosmos, one's life is just but a blink of an eye.
Really? You're gonna lecture me about astrophysics right now? Hey, please don't do this to me. I can't do this.
You once told me that I was like your father, and I said you were my son. How could a father do anything less?
Oh.
Please.
you, Jefferson.
Great.
Stay with me, please. I'd prefer not to be alone.
Yeah.
Please tell Clarissa and Lily that I love them.
I promise.
Thank you, Jefferson, for the adventure of a lifetime. I hope your life is long and full of love, just as mine.
No.
Oh God!
I'm crying all over again.
Yeah.
You played the whole thing. Oh God!
I didn't know where to split it up. That I had to. I apologize, everyone, but that's the only way I felt to end the serious scenes, and I didn't know how else to end that. Other than that one.
Yeah, no, that's... man.
All right. Shall we compose ourselves and get into feedback?
Yes.
Sounds great.
Right.
is that someone blowing their nose? all right. So, Jade and Julia, we always kind of sing the word feedback, so you guys are going to have to follow suit here because it's fun, okay?
Okay.
All right, Harley, what time is it?
Time for feedback.
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 Awesome, guys.
Yes.
Planetary powers, activate!
All right, guys, we got some... we got a lot of feedback, a Wave Rider full, I will say, so this is awesome. Let's get to it. And first off, it is a voicemail from Green Butterfly, and we're combining the CCU feedback with Legends feedback. So, Green Butterfly, here's her Flash feedback.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky, Green Butterfly. I really love that the tables were turned in this episode, and Barry was able to give Oliver advice, after Oliver has always been there for him. I love that he rushed out of bed in the morning because it's bad luck for a bride and groom to see each other before the wedding. Probably also bad luck if the person officiating the wedding gets vaporized. But as I have not finished this fantastic event yet, I'm getting ready to enter hour 4. I'm still holding out hope for a happy ending for Barry and Iris. So far, this event gets 10 out of 10 wacky work weeks that makes it hard to remember to RSVP for weddings. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
So she's not even finished yet.
Well, she may be by now.
She may be now. That's true. That's true.
Pretty sure she is by now.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out after her, because she also sent Legends feedback, which we'll get to later. But it's always fun hearing from Justina. She always brings so much positiveness to our show. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. All right. So you guys, CCUers, you can take on your email here. What do we got next?
Yes, we got an email from former CCU podcast host Tony Caselli.
Awesome.
And he said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that freaking crossover was freaking amazing. My feedback is that I just finished it and I can't form words or thoughts and want to go watch it all again right now. Are there minor quibbles? Probably, but I don't care. That was 4 hours of joy and surprises and mind-melting nerdtastic moments and heart-wrenching sadness and love. Martin, two weddings, evil wave rider, the fight scenes, Thawne is back. Frost ice bridges. Gah! Can't wait to hear all the discussion about it. Gah! Tony.
That's the best email reading ever.
Can you come do ours all the time? Because you're way better than me.
That's my Tony Caselli impression.
That is awesome. That's so good to hear from him, and just that he loved it so much. So cool.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next up, we have a voicemail from our friend Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, also with feedback for Flash. So here's that.
Hello, Central City Underground. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback for the crossover event. I really enjoyed this. I loved seeing our Flash group in this crossover. I could have dealt with more Cisco, though. Really could have wanted more of him in that. But I really like Caitlin's involvement. I just really enjoyed the key parts that they played, and I'm interested to see where we go from here. I wasn't really happy about the Thawne being let go story point. I think there's better ways of handling that, but I'm just going to let it go because I just really enjoyed this event. So I'm looking forward to y'all's thoughts. X-Force 11 out.
All right, you two, you respond to that.
Yep.
Oh, we're not alone there. You know, I am right there with them. I also probably could have used a little more Cisco. He was knocked out for a little bit of it, I think. And we didn't talk about the fact that he woke up in the pipeline and that whole scene with, I think it was Thawne bouncing the ball. Cisco was so annoyed by it. Those little moments I just love. But yeah, I can always use more Cisco.
Totally.
Yeah, more Cisco would have been great. But I can see why they couldn't have done that, because he could have just ruined the entire storyline, just portaling everyone home.
Sure.
That's true. Yeah, he almost is a little overpowered.
Yeah, it was very convenient. He was a sideline for a good bit of it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think everyone's in agreement with that. And everyone's in agreement with Barry letting Thawne go. So they better have a good answer for that come the next few Flash episodes.
I hope so.
Cool. All right. We're going to move on to some emails. I think this stuff is for Legends now. First one is email from Christy. Take it away, Harley.
All right. Christy says, Rory was definitely a standout through all four parts. He had so many funny lines, including his reasoning on which side of the church to sit on. Shout out to Captain Singh for that awesome bewildered look he gave to Rory when he sat down next to him. Once Firestorm decided to split up at the battle on Earth-X, I knew something horrible was going to happen. Stein's death was also kind of telegraphed because we already knew he was leaving the show, but it was still so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Jax having to tell Stein's wife and daughter it was just horrible. It was heart-wrenching. I'm so glad he got his hero moment to help the team by opening the portal. I realized that they couldn't have all the characters on all four parts, but it did seem a little odd that most of the Legends characters didn't even show up until part four. Yep. I loved Ray stopping the knife from cutting Kara. Is expanding just his hand a new feature of his suit? Oh, I think so.
Well, is it? They only just touched on him in beginning, as he said. I mean, we've only seen him growing giant size, like all of him, not individual parts of him. So that was actually new.
Yeah,
I thought so. Also, Vixen and Amari had a fantastic moment with Killer Frost when they breached the evil Wave Rider. From Christy. I think she means Zari, but yeah.
Yeah, still. Excellent.
That was one of my favorite moments too, Christy.
Yeah, she's right in tune with us on pretty much every point there, so definitely always appreciate hearing from you, Christy. Next, we have a voicemail from Northern Freeze, and it has been a long time since we've heard from him.
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say.
Hello, Flash and Harley. Northern Freeze here with a little bit of feedback on the Crisis on Earth-X crossover. loved it. Absolutely fantastic. That was comic book TV at its prime. Kind of wonder if they brought the wannabe Ralph Dibny in on the Flash to test out the stretching CGI so Ray could play around with it. That was kind of impressive. That's the first time I think we've seen Ray stretch individual body parts, not his entire body at once. So that was kind of cool to see. Mm-hmm. Knowing that, you know, Victor Garber was going to be leaving the show, wasn't quite expecting to get kicked in the feels quite as much as they did. I'm pretty sure I've got to do some cleaning around the house. There must have been a lot of dust around in those last two episodes because I seem to be, you know, man tears may have been shed. Overall, just phenomenal. Really looking forward to whatever event they manage to come up with next year. And overall, I would give it a 9 out of 10 last-minute nuptials. Anywho, you guys take care. Northern Freeze out.
Good to hear from you, Northern Freeze. Well, well said.
That was good. I liked his
that
point.
That was awesome. All right, Jada, let's get you in on this. I'm going to let you read the email from ArcPhase.
Okay, the email from ArcPhase says, "Greetings, Wonder Twins. This crossover event was spectacular. It seemed so much like it could have been a movie, just as the writers had wanted. There were things that weren't that great, such as the CGI of the green Oliver swinging around the beams of the construction site, or how the Flash was able to go to Star City and back in a split second, but was unable to run that fast to get back to team on Earth X. Overall, however, the effects and everything else was great."
You know what? Sorry, I have to just jump in there. He is so right. I forgot about that. That sequence of Green Oliver swinging around the beams on the construction, that was the worst, I think, out of all of it. It looked hokey.
And I had also forgotten about that. And you're right. I now that I think about it, it wasn't that good.
No, I forgot too.
I just put it out of my mind because everything else was so good.
Yeah. Yes.
You forgot on purpose.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah. Yep.
All right, carry on.
To reverberate Felicity's words from the last crossover, best team up ever. We got to see pretty much every character from all our shows in some shape and form. I didn't expect to see Prometheus of Earth X to be Tommy Merlin of all people.
Oh, yeah.
Could the lore of Earth X be similar to Black Siren since she wasn't really mentioned at all?
Good question. Yeah. But yeah, we totally forgot about Tommy, although that's Arrow talk. But yeah, definitely surprised there.
That was pretty intense. ArcPhase goes on to say, "What I find interesting is that there are 53 Earths with 53 Kara's. Does that mean somewhere in the universe of Earth 1, we have a Superman, Supergirl, and Martian Manhunter 2? All the possibilities we could have with all the different Earths."
Yeah, that is another good point to bring up. What do you guys think of the idea of 53 Kara's? Because this... There's so many theories, and the one that I'm going to say is that possibly on Earth 1, her pod maybe never got here yet or didn't land here.
Well, maybe Krypton just never died and she didn't have to leave in Earth 1.
Okay, that's another good theory. Jada? Okay.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that like you were saying, like maybe it's just out of sync. Like maybe she's still young at this point on our Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Harley, anything?
I have no good theory. I think I'm just confused at this point.
I think on Earth 1 or in Earth 1's universe that Krypton is totally fine and Superman and Supergirl are just living their lives and having a great time. And nothing bad ever happened to them.
Aren't we Earth 1?
Yeah, I mean Krypton 1.
Yeah. Like,
I'm so confused.
Earth 1 being this version of our universe, right? Because they have to open a portal to go to the parallel universe. So,
right.
So Krypton 1. And yeah, because I mean, we never heard of a Kara on Earth 2 either. So
yeah,
that's a good theory. I like them both, whether she's here and she's young. she's here and she has no powers, or she never did come here because Krypton's okay. Yeah, there's tons of theories out there.
Awesome. Where is she from again?
Earth 19, isn't it? Supergirl.
Is it 38?
Yeah, something like that.
72, 51. Okay, cool.
72 is too many. They're only 53.
Yeah.
I know. Not Earth 1 is what you're telling me. Okay, I think I am now following again, but I was lost for a minute.
She is not on Earth 1. That's why they have to keep going through a portal to go get her.
Right, because they have to go through the portal. I keep forgetting that. Okay.
All right. On with his email.
He goes on to say, at the beginning of the wedding, a girl was talking to Barry as if she had some familiarity with him. Wonder who she is, and maybe we'll get to see her again in the Flash later.
Yeah, we totally covered that for sure.
We once again see the reverse Flash from Earth 1. How does he keep coming back? Every time they get rid of him, he just finds some way to return. Yeah.
That's the awesomeness of Thawne.
Yes. Where did the Oliver get the kryptonite for his kryptonite arrows? Oh, for kryptonite to exist, for kryptonite to exist, the planet Krypton would have had to have been destroyed, and remnants of the planet scattered around the Earth. More possibilities for a Superman and Supergirl in this world, perhaps.
That just totally ruined my theory.
Yeah, they've got to be around.
I'm confused again.
Wow, what a point to bring up.
That is a good point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because he couldn't have gotten that from Supergirl's Earth.
We've never seen him go to Supergirl's Earth, have we?
Right. So there would be no opportunity for that. That is a plot hole.
Yes.
No?
Awesome fun.
Either a plot hole or foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Yeah, possibly. Mm. All right.
To continue, it was awesome seeing the Red Tornado, the Ray, and even Earth X Snart. Snart was a total 180 of our Captain Cold, and he definitely wasn't liked by Rory.
Nope.
To wrap things up, it was cool seeing the interactions between characters that have just met from each of the shows. And of course, the one biggest thing to occur, the death of Martin Stein and Firestorm. What will Jax do now without Stein? And will he have to take the serum to stabilize his metahuman cells also?
All good questions.
Isn't this...
Well, much look forward to... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I thought that's what the serum did. I thought it disconnected them.
Just I wondered that why one of them had to take it, though. Yeah, I wondered why only one of them had to take it.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
I think that serum was the one that separates them. I don't know if they properly explain that that will stabilize Jax. I mean, he didn't take it, so that's why I'm theorizing that he might become unstable after the separation. We'll have to see.
Maybe.
Yeah. I thought that they said the serum would trick his molecules into thinking that Stein was there so he could continue to be Firestorm.
Right. Yeah, that's true, but Jax
didn't
take it.
But he didn't drink it.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would help.
So it's an unopened or unclosed question there, so we'll have to see. All right.
Well, much to look forward to for each series next week, and already can't wait for the next crossover from Ark.
I think everyone is on board with that final sentiment for sure.
Can we just combine all the shows and just have one big crossover all the time?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. I like this plan.
I like this plan.
Call it something like Justice League or something.
Yes. Forget about the movies. Let's just stick with the TV shows. Awesome. Cool. Thanks for reading that, Jada. Next up, we got our second voicemail from Green Butterfly, and here's her legends.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. That was fantastic! Completely fantastic! Okay, a couple of things I really loved. I loved that Stein was able to do something very heroic for the team so he could end on an epic saving the world moment. It really gave additional weight to his sacrifice. I'm really happy that they didn't force a relationship between Alex and Sarah. I love Sarah, and I would love to see her have love. But for those of you that don't watch Supergirl, Alex just broke up with Maggie because she wants children. And I just don't think Sarah would be the perfect co-parent for this. Number one, she's an assassin. Number two, she travels for work. I mean, like, a lot. But I'm glad she was able to give Alex some valuable advice. And I really loved mention of the woman that she loves that she had to leave for this job. Of course, I believe she's talking of Nyssa. And I'm glad that even though she couldn't join us for the crossover, that she was mentioned. I felt the little fire and ice between Heatwave and Killer Frost. I really loved the balance of humor and action and heart in this entire crossover. Did you notice the music cues changing? It seemed that as each one of the characters were doing heroic things, it would put the theme songs for the respective shows behind them, and it was really cool. I also felt that it was really, really balanced. It didn't feel like we were seeing way more of one character versus another. And I was worried with a cast so big that we might see that, but I didn't detect a problem there. Oh, my Olicity heart is so happy. Green Butterfly loves a good happily ever after. I mean, we live in the superhero world, so it probably won't last super long. But I'm going to enjoy this moment as it lasts. This crossover gets 10 out of 10 wacky work weeks that makes it hard to remember to RSVP to a wedding. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
Wow, a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, we all gave it pretty high ratings, and Green Butterfly is usually above everybody. I think she loves these shows so much. But I love her, the way she sees things in the little parts that she always picks out. It's quite entertaining.
Absolutely. She's right on about the music, too. I said it with my quote earlier, but the music and the sound in this crossover was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally was, actually. They transitioned everything really well. And I always say that these shows, the music composers, they find a way to bring the emotions out of you. Whatever it is the scene is trying to get you to do, the music actually gets you to feel it.
It's crazy. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Green Butterfly, for being part of this with us. Next up, we got an email from Amanda Moon. Jess or Julia, who wants to read this one?
Oh, I can read it.
Doesn't matter. Go for it, Julia.
All right. Amanda Moon says, so many feelings. I kept thinking Gideon would still save Stein up until Jax broke the news to the family.
My guess
is that the writers asked Victor Garber for his Stein bucket list, and being the face of Firestorm, meeting Hedy Lamarr, and dying a hero's death were all on it. I doubt he wanted his character to go gentle into that good night.
Uh-huh. That's the second feedbacker that's kind of backed my defense of that idea.
And I'm saying they shouldn't have thrown it out there as an option if this is what they were going to do the whole time.
Oh, dissension in the ranks still. All right, continue.
One other thing. Is it possible that this is our Earth's Captain Cold? I seem to remember he didn't leave a body behind. Maybe he did a little interdimensional travel instead. His expression seemed like he was just messing with Mick over the police officer heroic story. And why would he want to stick around Earth 1? Other than because Earth X is just a horrible place, so who wouldn't want to break from that?
Interesting.
I don't think that he is the Earth 1 Captain. He was just so different personality-wise.
Yeah, I can't imagine him changing that much. Because the last time we had him on Legends, before he died, he was starting to hit it off with Sarah. So he's completely switched.
Yeah, I think he's a different guy. Amanda Moon goes on to say, those are my thoughts for now. I still don't have a superhero name, but my powers would be healing people, physically and emotionally, so I can help everyone and teleportation, because then I'd never be late. Can spreading positivity be a superpower? The world needs a hero like that. Correction. I think Captain Cold is from Earth 1, not our Earth, Amanda. Okay, huh. First of all, I thought Amanda Moon was her superhero name, because that's an awesome name.
Yeah.
Exactly. Moon is a great name. Yeah. Wait, so she's saying, I think Captain Cold is from Earth 1, not our Earth.
I am not sure what that last bit means.
No, because our Earth is Earth 1.
Maybe she really meant not from Earth, Oh, is from Earth X, not our Earth.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I think he is from Earth X. I think that's...
Yeah.
That's
right. But as for finding her a superhero name that spreads positivity and can teleport, that's kind of cool. We'll have to, we often help people come up with their superhero names, so we'll have to think about that. That could be very cool. And I think Moon might have to be in it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even just calling yourself Moonlight, because light...
Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah?
All right. Amanda, do you like it? I like it.
Let us know.
Let us know. All right, Harley, you introduce the last two.
All right. We have two voicemails to close out the show, and the first one is from our good friend, X-Force 11.
Hello, tomorrow's legends. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback for the crossover event. Man, they just really ripped our hearts out with the death of Stein. Oh, that was so hard. I really appreciate Victor Garber and his acting. I just wish they could have ended it in a different way for his character, and we don't know what's going to happen next with Jax. But I enjoyed the role that they played, although most of the legends got short shrift in the crossover, but that's okay. I enjoyed the crossover and enjoyed what's going on, and I'm looking forward to having Citizen Cold on the Wave Rider for at least a little bit longer. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 out.
I'm so with you, Jeff, on Citizen Cold. And I don't think you're quite in my camp about Dr. Stein, but anyway, I'll take it.
Of course. He was tipping going in there, yeah. Yeah.
I claim you and Jada. I'm just doing it.
Well, and Citizen Cold, will he end up on The Flash or will he be on Legends? Which way is he going to go? Because they didn't really leave us with any feeling of...
They didn't. And the Legends went off to their next adventure, so he would need to find them somewhere in time.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. I have a feeling that there's going to be a thing with him and Mick. I mean, it's always him and Mick, right?
It has to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I feel like he's going to go with Legends. Now, the logistics, I got nothing. But I feel like that's where he needs to be.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Cisco can just vibe to wherever they are and, you know, send them there.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Can Cisco do that through time, too, or is he just through?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah. I wonder. Maybe. What was that, Jada?
They have a time machine, so it's not like it really shouldn't be a problem.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you bring up a good point.
They all communicate with each other, so you know he could just say, hey, someone get a hold of the Wave Rider. I need to go see Mick or something. Like, who knows?
Well, Stein invented, before he died, that handy-dandy time phone thing.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, huh. So maybe they'll leave one of those with Team Flash.
Maybe.
Something. That'd be cool.
All right. Well, thanks, Jeff, as always. Where are we going to finish it off with, Harley?
All right. We have one final voicemail. And Martin, is this a new feedbacker or have we heard from this person before? I can't remember.
Well, Taz sent us feedback on Arrow Squad last week. So I'm wondering if this is the same Taz. There's actually two Taz feedbackers. So if this person's come over to Legends, this is awesome. I guess we'll have to listen and find out.
Cool. Well, welcome, Taz. And here's your voicemail.
Hey, Legendaires. This is Taz in DC. Just wanted to send feedback to you guys on the Fortnite crossover Crisis on Earth-X.
Yeah,
wow. I can't believe how good this was. You know, it was hard to separate out stuff that was great from just one show, except it was absolutely clear at the end that the last part was a Legends episode. It had all the Legends. They came back. It had Rey. It had Vixen. It had Zari. It had everybody. And it was the most crazy bonkers part of the whole thing, which is just completely Legends as we know it. There were so many things. Clearly the best written of the Fortnite crossovers we've had so far. It just was one big movie. And I would love to see this edited down into a movie. But some of of the favorite things. Ray's giant hand was awesome. The Man of Steel catching the Maid of Steel. Come on. You know, the last part when Supergirl is outside the bad wave rider and says, "General, would you care to step outside?" The Superman 2 reference. I mean, it had everything. It had great fights, good CGI, all the characters we love, great lines, pop culture references. I you know, it couldn't have been better. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Anyway, Legendaries, I think our Legends did a great job in this crossover. Too bad we didn't get to see more of them to the end, but this was such hard work for all the cast and crew. I just commend them all. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. Bye.
Wow. What a perfect voicemail to end our feedback section on, because yeah. I think she...
Yes.
That's like putting the star on the top of the Christmas tree or something. That was just the final touch. Thank you, Taz. Perfect. Yes, thank you, Taz, so much for joining us and coming over to Legends. It's awesome to have you here. We hope to hear from you again throughout the rest of the season. Well, that wraps it up, guys, for feedback. Holy cow. Thank you, everybody, for all that awesome feedback from CCU and Legends. We totally appreciate it all.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Julie and Jada, thank you so much for doing this with us and being part of this event to have our own little mini event. It was a lot of fun.
It sure was. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it was great fun. It was a great crossover.
Totally was. Did you have fun, Harley, despite you opening this with being so angry?
Of course I did. Like I said, I wasn't letting that bit affect my rating, and I was very desperately trying not to let it affect my enjoyment either. I still gave it a 9.5.
You did. Well, Legendaires and Undergrounders out there, I hope you guys had fun listening to this extended podcast. We'll see you next week to find out what exactly happens with all the rest of the Legends. This is The Flash, signing off.
And this is Harley Quinn. I'm out.
This is Julia, signing off.
This is Jada saying, "I died trying to save pigs. I'm going to be sick."
Perfect.
Tomorrow's Legends is not affiliated with CBS, Warner Brothers, or the CW. We're a fan-made podcast for entertainment purposes only and are part of the Cybercast Network. Find our podcast in iTunes. You can leave us a rating and review. We'd love that. As well, we can now be found in Google Play Music.